you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Good afternoon. Your question, you're on with Professor Beverly. Your question, please.
Yes, I have to say that living in New York for... Let me turn this down. Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. It's 43 minutes after the hour. We have another 7 minutes and then we're out of here. Are you back?
Yes, I'm a lifelong New York City resident. As far as being poor or feeling poor, I have to say that one thing that has made me feel poorer, probably since about last year sometime, is the fact that something has been ripped away from New York City, which I think should be brought back immediately, and that, of course, is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on. Okay, thank you very much, Professor Andrew, and I'd like to thank you, including, by the way, our new callers. And that includes the Belcher. Very funny. Ha, 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 ha.
Hello? Turn off your radios, please. Please turn off your radios. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. Let me turn this down. There we go.
Yes.
Is that more gooder?
That's better.
Great. I have a question for your guest. I wanted to know about his collaboration with... There's a professor emeritus of humanities at Yale University, Dr. Robert Spiewak, Ph.D., who's an authority in V-neck pants and Korean restaurants, and I wanted to know what his opinion of Hugh Hamilton's vagina was.
There's always one in the crowd.
Oh, yes. You know, that's an interesting thing.
Good. And the price of my radio.
Hello?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Am I on the air?
You are. Who is this?
Were you looking to be on the air?
Yeah, I was, but nobody said, hello, you're on the air.
Hello, you're on the air. Who is this?
Oh, my name is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Wow, I have a brother named Larry.
Life is so funny like that.
I have a question for you.
Yes, we're listening, Larry.
Yeah, why are you guys allowed to say bullshit that they couldn't say bullshit on the Don and Mike Show?
Whoopee! Well, don't drink soda before you call the show.
Hello, you're in the air. Joe?
Yes?
These were your friends calling.
No, they're not.
Hello, you're in the air.
Whoopee!
He's very happy about that.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That may not be suitable for sensitive viewers. If you are such a viewer, now might be the time to go make yourself a nice DM.
Welcome. Hi there. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome. Welcome, faggots.
Faggot. Faggot. Faggot.
Oh, that Ann Coulter.
Oh, no. Faggot. Faggot. Faggot.
The show is great. Here's the ad
now. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
And hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on Monday. You just heard the phone number in the list of all those tapes. 877-365-3636. You would think that the Ann Coulter tape would be the hottest tape that we have today.
You would think.
I would think so.
Faggot.
And she sounds so male there with her, the stunningly emaciated right-wing pundit.
You know, seriously, take her politics out of it. I wouldn't do her with yours.
It's the vibe, though.
Yeah.
If she just chilled a little bit, but she's always, like, the veins are always sticking out of her neck. She seems like she would be so uptight that if you, how do I say this nicely on this show?
Screwed her.
If you went down there.
Oh, I got you. Oh.
You'd pull back nothing. You know what I mean? You'd have to go to an emergency room. Because there'd be like a bear trap down there.
Oh, I thought you meant that you meant be like smooth like a G.I. Joe.
No, it would be violent. It would be a violent, such a violent experience that you require medical attention.
Uh-huh. She got the horse face all day long.
And she's not, I mean, look. She's laughing all the way to the bank, first of all. But I still think it's not. They always argue with Ann Coulter whether it's premeditated or whether she's just not quite right.
Faggot.
And I like to err on the side of she's just not quite right.
Yeah, me too. But that's not our lead tape, Mike. And our lead tape is also not. Did you see the toddler smoking weed?
Yeah. No.
We'll get to that for the Buzz.
Wow.
Daycare Center.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, like a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old on video smoking a weed.
Oh, my God.
But that's not our lead tape. Our lead tape is Steve Villanueva. Yes.
From Channel 4.
The weather guy we've been talking about for a couple of weeks.
Your man, this guy is far. He's the front. He's the front coming over the mountains. Talks like this. Chilly and windy. What did he do?
Chilly, and it is windy.
Now listen how the guy says his S's. It's chilly, and it's windy.
But it is chilly, and it is windy.
It is.
You know what? That's not Steve Villanueva. That's the new morning man from our sister station, The Globe.
That's not Weasel, Mike.
It sounds like Weasel. It's Steve.
You know, sometimes the Amish just have it right.
No problems.
They know what they're doing.
It's cold out there this morning.
It certainly is.
You know, yeah, and on top of that, it's really windy. So that's the real issue this morning. It is very breezy out there.
That's the real issue this morning. It's breezy out there.
It's breezy and it's windy.
You know, there's still the Weekend Crew. God love them. They're still better than that. Those morning slugs they have there, Krebs and Harrison.
Making it feel really, really cold.
It's windy.
It's windy, and I'm 3 feet tall doing the weather.
It's chilly.
I sound like Weasel.
All right, so lots of tapes to get to, lots of show to get to today. A couple of guests today.
Pretty good.
Pretty good, including
excited about this.
The president from 24, President Logan. We'll have him on, the crazy Nixon president.
Right.
That's good. Oh, and all the phones are ringing. I see we can take phone calls as well. So we have wacky sound effects.
Yes.
We have...
And we have crazy poses.
Mm-hmm. And kooky callers.
Right.
And, oh, yes.
And cracked comedy. Cracked with a K. Cracked like the magazine.
Right. Cracked with C.
Was it C?
C-R-A-C-K-E-D.
Oh, crazy glue was K.
That's right. And Cracked Magazine had the poor man's Alfred E. Newman... The guy who was dressed as the janitor, the guy with blonde hair,
right, looked like a painter.
The doofy-looking white guy, right.
Well, didn't he wear, like, kind of a painter's hat sometimes?
Not opposed to Alfred E. Newman, who's not a goofy-looking white guy.
No, but Alfred E. Newman had a level of sophistication that I truly enjoyed. I'd pick up Cracked once in a while, you know, when it was there, when it was the only thing available.
Cracked was an outstanding go-to if Mad was not available. In its own way... Cracked was superior to Mad in a couple of ways.
Right.
Now we're really in my wheelhouse.
These are the comic books that I like.
Right.
So
talking about the important journals of the day.
Did you gravitate from Mad to National Lampoon? Did you have that transition like I did?
I'll tell you what won me over to National Lampoon was the first time I was in the drugstore and saw Photo Funnies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And couldn't believe that right there, and this is like in 1972,
right
there at People's Drug, there was a magazine. You could open it up, and there was girls' boobs.
Right there.
Supposed to be presented in a humorous manner, but...
Yes. Always black and white.
Satire.
At least black and white at the beginning.
Didn't matter.
It didn't matter at all.
And
they were big, beautiful boobs.
And once I discovered that, then I went to the bookstore and found... Like the National Lampoon hard paperbacks.
Yeah, they had that. The
one that was like the a class book from a
class
from
of a, something a, where they had book. Zippy and Spanky and all those guys.
And that thing, there was about 20 more pictures of naked chicks.
Yeah, they had the whole section. It was a yearbook, is what it was. National Lampoon's yearbook.
And it was funny. Yes, it would. Be, the progression was Mad, Cracked, and there were a couple of other. Wannabes like under the Cracked level, and then you go back to Lampoon.
You know, it's weird the things I remember. I remember getting in an incredible amount of trouble with my family up in Maine when I was reading out of that book. That was my treasured possession that I had, National Lampoon's yearbook. And my uncle Ted yelled at me when I read the little salutations that they put under the pictures. And one of them was shake it more than three times and you're playing with it.
Right.
And then I was asked to stop at that point. I was very, very
disappointed. That was a dirty book back then.
Yes.
It was a controversial book. It really was.
Groundbreaking.
It was so dirty.
2 years later, you had Animal House right after that. Right?
This weekend, don't ever make the mistake that I made with your chick, with your girlfriend, with your wife, with the whore that you picked up on the street last night, with a girl who may be tied up in your trunk right now.
Regardless.
Here's what you never want to do.
What?
Call their bluff. And this was not even done in a call their bluff type way. This came down to,
see, that's dangerous.
This came down to what movie we were going to see this weekend. And it's my fault. She didn't set a trap. I threw it out there because I'm Joe Gallant.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that there's no way that playing ring toss, we'd end up on this movie. We're looking in the newspaper, and I said, really, Jan, you picked the movie. Because I always pick the movie. Let's see something you really want to see.
Right.
And she looked through the paper, and she said, oh. How about the Sam Jackson movie?
Okay.
And I said, I'd be thrilled with that, but I know that you know that I want to see that movie.
So she was trying to please.
Yes, and always. I said, please.
Always, bless. Yes, of course, always.
Please,
always.
Please me. I said, please, select a movie. Mm-hmm. I almost said that like Steve a little later. Select. Chili and Wendy, select the movie.
Are you at the stage in your relationship now where she's starting to assert herself as far as no, or so you still have to command her to do something she wants to do?
Yes. It's a glorious place to be, Mike.
I know it's lasted longer than I expected. It's really lasted a long time.
It'll wear off any day, but it's still there now.
I think you've defied a lot of predictions on that. I mean, normally that's a, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
That's usually 6 months,
that
and then it's
gone.
Just like, well, you know what I'd like to do? Or you at least get, you know, when there maybe are a few cocktails involved, you know, we never do what I want to do. That type of thing. You're not there yet. You have to tell her. So you have to tell her, pick a movie you want to go see.
Yep. And she looked through the paper, and she said, I've got it. And I said, great, what is it? And she said, the Hugh Grant movie.
Oh.
And
the one with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I just about could taste the bile in the back of my throat. And I said, is this a goof? And again, because we are not
to that, like it.
We are not to that level in our relationship where I think, you know,
she would goof that
she's
way.
Goofing me. I said, but are you like trying to pick the worst possible movie? And she said,
the test.
No, this is the one that I want to see. She said, we don't have to see it if you don't want to see it. I said, no, if this is truly your choice, we will go see.
You can't help but assert yourself.
The Hugh Grant movie.
It's your genetic code. So you said, we're going to go see what we want to see. And then she said, the Hugh Grant movie. Do you think she was working you?
Nope. It's what she wanted to see.
And you have to, and you
she
have
was happy
to go along with it?
As happy as a pig in ass. Yes, I did.
Did she know that it was under protest going into the theater?
She, at one
it was
point,
a little bit under protest. You made it clear that this was not a movie you would have chosen.
But I went along.
Right.
Listen, this, you know, if there's anything I learned with Frida, the word is calm. The word is compromise.
That's right, Don.
So we go to the movie. And we're sitting there, and just looking, I'm looking around, just going, it's surprisingly full for a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. It's got reasonably decent reviews.
It's a piece of garbage. It makes Notting Hill look like Gladiator.
Really?
I mean, really.
Really? That's a great review right there. That'll keep me out of the theater.
It's so awful. It's so, well, faggot. That's what Ann Coulter would say about it. It's so bad, and we were sitting there, and... And there's a different genre of talker that goes to a Hugh Grant movie.
Really? British accents?
No, no, Buzz. It's not the type of talker that you get at the movies that I would normally select.
Is their hair a nice shade of blue?
Where you get, yes, Mike, where you get someone going, you know, don't go in that door. There's a guy with a gun. Does he remember there's a man with a gun? Where would... No, you don't get that. In this one, you get, oh... He's writing a song for her. And it was not annoying me like talking in a normal movie annoys me.
Right.
But there was a lot of chatter. All of these housefrows, I thought they were watching a TV movie on Lifetime, and they could just talk back to the TV. And all of the men, generally speaking, like who were sitting there like me, just going, what penance am I serving now for this? But I was a good trooper. Mm-hmm. I only left to go to the bathroom. One time.
What time did you first check your watch? How many minutes into the movie?
That is an excellent question.
I thought it would be.
Would you like to hazard a guess?
I'll say less than 2 minutes.
You're the man.
Yeah.
You're the man. It was
if you ate it at that much, you and I are very similar in that regard, that we will watch check at 2 minutes.
It was during the opening credits, which I'm sure everyone has seen as like a parody of a Wham video.
Oh, that's how they run the opening credits with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Janet leaned over and she said, did you just look at your watch? And I said, yep. She said, we can go. And, you know, that's, again,
yeah,
that's a dangerous
trap.
You know, we just sat down. I said, no.
Did she enjoy it?
I don't want to embarrass her. She cried.
Okay, well, it's...
She cried.
Okay for her.
She cried.
Right.
Because you hit her?
The only time...
Rob.
The only time that I actually laughed,
Robbie,
or had any true emotion,
right,
was in the wrong spot.
Oh.
When, after Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant have been up for 3 days in a row attempting to write a record for, like, the Christina Aguilera in the...
That's movie. When they're doing all that blow, right?
Yeah. She says... He says something like, hey, but we've got to go over to the studio. She says, I can't go. Look at me. I look like I've been up for 3 days. I'm grimy. And I said, well, you're goddamn right. and so that just...
Tough for her to play that, isn't it?
Just a little too loud. She's scummy and she's...
I'm still remembering it. You see, they ought to quote you in these papers. Makes Notting Hill look like Gladiator.
The worst. And then when we got home, the only thing that we got, I guess, for you is a real Tommy Boy moment.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, I was... carefully barreling down my street at less than 100 miles an hour.
Good for you.
And as I came to my long, spiraling driveway, I punched it as we went up the driveway. And I'll be goddamn, there was not a deer that was just, and I mean not a small deer.
Yeah, full
big size. Deer, big antlers. Just
a buck?
Standing in the middle of the driveway.
Whoa.
And
whoa,
this effer would not move. Now, it's not that I came barreling around and almost hit him. We came around the corner and said, whoa, what is that? And he just stood there, and, you know, I honked the horn a couple of times, you know. Come on, move!
And it's kind of a mutual frozen society there, because you're staring at him. A buck deer is pretty fascinating to look at.
He would not move. And she said, what are we going to do? And I said, get out the shotgun! I said, this is like the movie that I like Tommy Boy. Look at how big that thing is.
Out of dinner. It's a great scene in Tommy Boy. They don't know it's dead, you know, when they put it into the back of their car.
I'm not getting out of the car. So we had a bit of a stare down. And I did the bright lights on, bright lights off, back down the driveway a little bit, gunned it a little bit.
I'm amazed the horn didn't get him.
Now, finally he moved when a pack of about 3,000 other deer came running by.
He's the leader of that pack.
But yeah, but this guy, this one, his head belonged on somebody's wall. This one was so big.
There's a lot of points on that buck?
Big, gigantic, like...
Wow.
Big antlers.
You know, like the Milwaukee Bucks logo.
That's cool.
That's what I mean. Big, gigantic ass animal.
That is very cool.
Huge animal. Also spent some time this weekend playing Madden with some of our listeners on Xbox Live.
Did you win or lose?
Won a couple, lost a couple. Mm-hmm. 500 against our listeners. The thing that being on Xbox Live, being as I have so many friends now who have I've signed up through our website and my password, my username.
Uh-huh.
Every time I get on now, it says, "Beep wants to send you a message."
Yeah.
"Beep wants to challenge you to a game." "Beep wants a message," and I actually had to stop a game at one point yesterday, and I want to say hi to listener, or it is gamer tag down, College Guy Phil.
College Guy Phil, does that sound like a sweater around the neck? Or
College
what?
Guy
it's
Phil.
College Guy Phil.
Come on. College Guy Phil, you are the biggest pain in the ass I have ever played Xbox with in my entire life. We're playing the game, and because I refuse to wear the headset, he keeps pausing the game and says, whatever his screen name is, College Guy Phil wants to chat. College Guy Phil wants to chat.
Well, see, that's why he signed up. He wants to have that one-on-one.
So
he wants to be your friend.
I don't want to chat with him, but
you've made that pretty clear that you don't wear the headset when you play.
He gets 5 pauses in the game, and then it says, College Guy Phil has sent you a message. So I pause, and I go to the message part, and because he's wearing the headset, you actually get an audio message where you get to hear the guy. And I click on it, and it goes,
hello, Don. Is this Don? Can I talk to you, please? I might not be able to stay and play the whole game. Hello, is this Don?
Doesn't sound college educated to me.
No.
Sounds rather sluggish. Almost sounds like Merrill Howard Kalin.
Creepy.
Love.
Very similar. And anyway, I ended up pissing the guy off because without getting terribly nerdy on your ass, what you don't want when you're playing Madden, Xbox Live, or any Xbox Live game is a DNF. Did not finish.
Did not finish.
You want to finish the game so that you get a good rating. What the guy wanted to do after all of this, starting and stopping to chat and write notes and send audio messages, I was kicking his ass, and he wanted a friendly quit.
DNF. What is it in an officer and a gentleman? Is it DOR? Where they try to get him to DOR, and I don't know what it stands for. Where he tries to get him to quit. And I think it's called DOR. It's a too old a movie. Nobody remembers.
No, no, no. I know what you're talking about.
But is that what he says? Lou Gossett says that to Richard Gere. You're going to D. Is it DOR?
No, it's not, but it's a military term that means, like, to fail out.
To fail, to flunk out, to quit,
you're not
so you don't
make
finish.
It. Or does not. Well, I don't, boy.
DOR, dishonorable something. Or maybe not dishonorable. I don't remember. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Well,
I've successfully stopped the show.
No, I think I did it when I started talking about this.
DOR.
Anyway, the guy just pissed me off to no end because after all of this, he then got aggressive with me and left me a message. Because see what happens is the guy quit the game. I'd been playing for an hour, and because the guy had slowed it down with all of these messages,
right?
It normally takes about an hour. We played a half, and I was beating him 28-3. And then
he's not paying attention to the game. He's paying attention to the fact that he wants to chat.
So he quits, and then afterwards it says, you have a message from College Guy Phil, right?
College Guy Phil. I would expect to be, Don, it's really frustrating to play this game without you getting online and chatting a little.
So the message is, hello, Don, I just want to say, F you. You're a big F head. Yeah. You're an F head. You're an F-head. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
So he's talking like that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is College Guy Phil?
Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, I don't know if that's his real name.
He's
one of our listeners online.
Yeah. Well, you should have given him some college lingo and said, why the tension, old sport? I watched The Great Gatsby yesterday. That's what I'm calling. No. I'll be calling everybody that on the show today. It was on one of the high definition, you know, those crappy movies they get from 400 years ago. So no need to get uptight, old sport. And I think I'm going to be using it for the rest of the year because nobody uses it.
Oh, I just cracked my ass up. If that thing is stored in my Xbox, is there a way to... I should be able to transfer that to audio.
Might be a tough pull, old sport. I'm not sure whether you're going to be able to do that or not. I really don't know.
Let me see if I can bring it in tomorrow because it's very funny because it sounds like it sounds really like as you listen to the messages during the game leading up to the one where he finally gets mad and quit and then tells me to F off. Uh-huh. It's like listening to a nerd trying. It won't happen.
So the only thing he was mad at is that you just didn't talk to him.
Right. Yeah, he was mad I didn't talk to him and then he wanted a friendly quit. And I wouldn't give him a friendly quit because it's like, hey, dude, first, I'm killing you. And second, I've invested almost an hour in this game.
Oh, that's you're legit on that.
Stay for 20 minutes and finish the game.
That's BS.
He won't be ignored.
Bring it in. I've got to remember to bring it in tomorrow. Also, this weekend when I was on the telephone, I'm sorry, I'm just rambling because I got a million things to get to. I was on the phone with my grandkids, and they said, Grandpa, turn on the TV right now. And there are guys on TV right now.
Faggot.
Who make the... Who are those fags that you're...
The Wiggles?
Like? Yes. They make the Wiggles look like Gladiator.
Wow.
These boys are the Doodlebops.
Oh! Oh!
Now we're
you know Rob's, your way around the Doodlebop?
We're in Rob's wheelhouse. Rob has little kids as well.
Robert, yeah, but Rob, but his little kids don't watch it. This is what Rob watches.
I try to get them to watch it.
Right. It's your show.
No, Robert was into the Doodlebops real heavy for a while, and so I did some internet research. One of the Doodlebops, the blue one... has been on Queer as Folk, not in makeup.
Oh, really?
Thank you, Rob. That's a good tip.
There you go. That's great research.
Thank you.
I get the call from my daughter, and she says, you know, the kids really want to talk to you about something on TV.
Do they compete with Barney? Is that who they compete with?
They are, I think, probably a little, they skew probably a little older than Barney. They're Canadian, I think.
Addie is like is six, so she watches it a lot. But the little one, my littlest granddaughter, who's two, Carly said, Grandpa, they're talking to me. They are talking to me. And, like, she's, can you see it? Can you see it? So I turned on whatever the channel was.
Disney Kids.
And I see these guys. I'm like, hi, kids. Who likes the color blue?
Are these animated characters?
No, they're over-the-top makeup characters.
These are...
Dee Dee, Rooney, and Moe. The Doodlebops.
These are real people.
I must see a picture.
Shall I bring one up? I bet we can find some video.
Yeah, I'm sure someone can Google it for us.
Doodlebops. So I'm on the phone with the grandkids, and I said, okay, that's good. Put your mom back on the phone. And my daughter gets back on the phone, and I go, okay, well thanks. I don't really understand what that was all about. And she said, would you please tell them that the Doodle Bops are not talking to them?
Oh, dear.
That they do not believe me.
You got a picture of a picture
there
of
they are, Mike.
So what, two males and one female?
Yeah, that's Mo on the left.
Mo is in Ho. Don't they look like Cirque du Soleil?
Yes, they totally look like Cirque du Soleil.
It's an amazingly over-the-top, swishy program.
Really?
Yeah, to a point that Carrie and I watched it with our, you know, in disbelief when the kids first started watching it.
You know what? I don't think I've ever been able to be comfortable with any level of children's programming. Sometimes it's just bothers me. I don't know why. I wish it did. It just bothers. And you know, I'm sure that what 90% of it is probably innocent. But even when you see some
75%,
75%, you see a bald guy, 25%,
10% of it.
You see a guy come out even with a bald guy and a beard and a guitar. You know, and he's singing, "When we brush our teeth, we're really good."
There's really
something
singing
that creeps me about
when
it.
When you take your underpants right, yeah, off and I'm looking,
I've got a camera in my second row flat. So come up and make a movie like that.
You know, I'm out of the loop. I have no idea what's going on. So I turn it on and I chat with each of the grandkids and I say, you know, put your mother back on the phone. Uh-huh. Like, why am I being drug into this thing? So she gets back on the phone, and I go, hey, what's happening? I go, that was interesting. Why am I sharing this? And she said, oh, well, the kids think that the Doodle Bobs are talking to them. Doodle Bops, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
And I told them that you would tell them for sure that they were not.
You're the resident broadcasting authority.
Yeah. And so I go,
you would know.
Okay. So then I get the oldest one back on the phone, Addie, who says, and I hear my daughter setting this up, you know, okay, now Grandpa's going to tell you. And when Grandpa tells you, you believe Grandpa.
Right.
Okay? Right. And she, they hear, hello? Hey, Addie? Yes? I said, the Doodle Bops are talking to you.
Oh!
And right away, she says, thank you, Grandpa!
Oh.
And the phone just drops.
You totally
out.
Messed up their day.
Yeah. The phone drops, and I hear three of them. And then my daughter takes the phone, and she says, what did you tell her? I said, darling, don't volley it my way on a Saturday morning. I'll talk to the lovable Rugrats about anything that they want, but don't make me be the bad guy.
Right.
I told Addie that she was talking to her personally. So,
the Doodle Bops are real, and they can speak to you because they're magical.
And then later, I watched a little more of it. After I hung up the phone with him, I watched a little more.
Because what grown man doesn't get attached to it immediately? You know?
Well, I turned it on for 2 seconds when the grandkids are on
right.
the phone. And then they were
you wanted to investigate it.
Turned it on a little more, and then I called my daughter back. And she says, what now? Are we going to talk about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny? Or, you know, I said, no, slow down.
You turned it into a scene from A Few Good Men.
Yeah, right. I said, what's the deal with these shows?
You need the Doodle Bops on that wall.
What's the deal with all of these effeminate guys on these shows wearing makeup? And, you know, and I guess it's supposed to be a learning process, right?
Right.
The one that I was watching was focusing on the color yellow and also a lot of focus on banana. And I had the same thoughts as you, Mike. Like,
right.
Gee, what else is big and long and maybe kind of yellow and kind of looks like a banana? Well, maybe
you can't make it in movies, and you can't make it in TV, and you can't find a panel on Deal or No Deal. You go to NPR. public broadcasting.
Every episode has a theme that's supposed to teach some sort of lesson, and they're a rock band, you see.
Okay.
The lesson was to eat fruit.
There you go.
That was the lesson.
Good lesson.
I always think fruit when I see them.
They were fixated.
A lot of choreography.
Bananas.
Yes, lots of dancing, lots of
tight, like dance skins, like tights.
Yeah, I guess.
It looked like they were wearing, they had those Cirque du Soleil outfits.
And the suits were almost like from Cats.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They've say
got,
no more.
They've got that entire thing going on.
The cavity's
on.
Not there.
Anyway,
there's lots of running gags. There's lots of water being thrown around.
Right.
Kids love it.
Doodle Bop.
Yeah, the kids love it. I mean, the innocent kids love it.
I'm glad we're past that stage. We're also past the Wiggles in my house.
I did not know that one of the Doodle Bops was actually gay, though.
Well, the blue one was in Queer as Folk.
The thing is, when we were growing up, the cartoons we were watching, really, I maintain, this was the era of that 50s thing that Don was playing the other day.
Right.
You know, when Dad comes home, make sure everything. And then, you know, if Dad's going to be in the room on a Saturday morning, you know, he's reading his paper, and the kids have the cartoons on TV, you might want to have a little content there that's going to make Dad chuckle.
Right.
So you get Mel Blanc and the Looney Tunes and all that, and you get Top Cat and good stuff like that. You know, and then even Clutch Cargo, you know, it was a more machismo cartoon, Johnny Quest.
With those mouths.
It was definitely a more, you know, now it's just like,
when you're seeing me, make sure you eat the pineapple.
I have my kids watch cartoons with no redeeming values at least once a week.
But it goes the, you know, my kids had, I think it was the Disney Channel on, and they were watching, it looked like a pirate type cartoon.
Okay.
And they go from that, you know, it's a very special world, you eat your breakfast every day. And then you go right into, we are going to make sure that the Spirograph Terminator will tear your head off. Mm. You know what I'm talking about? The cartoons that are so surreal, violent, sci-fi, way out. I mean, stuff like concepts that are...
What, worse than Transformers?
You get pirates to turn into skeletons and robots.
Yeah.
You know, just all over... Yeah, but I didn't like that. I like the real...
Better than faggots talking about how you should eat a banana every day.
But exactly.
While the guy looks like a big, gigantic, phallic banana.
But there's nothing in the middle. Where's your Wile E. Coyote? Where's your Pepe Le Pew? You know, you need a little bit of that.
Mike, right. It's a niche society now.
They can find it, I know. They can find it, like, on 10 different channels.
If you want that, go to Boomerang.
Yep. That's where Charlie Chan and the Amazing Chan Clan live.
Is that really where they are, and you direct your kids to that?
Well, I've put them all on DVD.
I must admit, I'm a bad father when it comes to watching children's programming with my kids. When I see children's programming on that they have in the house, I know it's cool that they're set, they're taken care of.
Right.
I make sure it's okay, and then I just can't sit there and watch. And they watch a lot of the... That's So Raven and that kind of crap.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, Julia's just getting to that age.
Yeah, they watch that kind of stuff.
Love CSI, right?
They watch CSI and Cold Case.
Right. When do you feel more out of touch? When we're talking about American Idol or when we're discussing possible gay performers on children's programs?
I think having children, probably, I feel more left out of.
Really?
Do the cats watch TV at all?
Sometimes, yes. Animal Planet.
Right.
Of course.
They watch The Snake Master.
They like cartoons.
That crappy guy, that Steve Irwin wannabe.
Steve Austin is his name. He sucks.
Steve Austin is the worst. And
that was
Steve
the
$6
million
on,
not Stone Cold Steve Austin and not the $6 million
this
man.
This is like the semi-Australian or New
Master.
Zealander.
He
and he
sucks.
Goes, I'm going to go into this cave right now. This is very, very dangerous. Then the shot, like he thinks we're retarded. The camera shot is from the other side of the cave. So somebody else has crawled in there where the evil snake is. He did a thing where he spent a whole half hour chasing the giant green anaconda. And then you see him wrestling it. You know when you were like in a pool as a kid and you'd have a life raft and you'd try to pretend it was something and fake it? That's how bad he was faking it.
The doodle bobs are all trying to chase an anaconda too. A big yellow anaconda.
The doodle bobs.
Doodle bobs. I'm going to give that an answer to your DOR thing. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Jeff.
Hey, Don and Mike. DOR stands for Drop on Request. He had to get Richard Gere to say, I want to quit, so he could then just pull him from the program.
So it was D-O-R. D-O-R. Okay, good. Good. D-O-R. Thank you very much.
Howdy, Don and Mike Show.
Mayonnaise.
I got nowhere else to go.
I got nowhere else to go.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
Donald y Miguel, los dios de radio.
Right.
Bueno.
Hey, fellas.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, I heard y'all talking about Crack Magazine.
Right, we were. Yes, sir.
With that little painter kid, Sylvester, huh? Sylvester.
Ah, that was his name, Sylvester. Right,
Sylvester.
Yeah, I heard that Crack Magazine was coming back. Like, I read it in Newsweek or something a few months ago.
No.
And, like,
you heard wrong. That's not Cracked Magazine. That's Crack Magazine. It's a magazine for the modern crackhead.
All about crack.
All about crack, how to smoke it, you know.
Kind of like High Times.
How to find it.
It is back, actually, and they've retooled it.
Okay.
So it's like
right.
a Mac.
All okay, right. All right. I was speaking a little joke.
The microphone's off. You know, this would be a good time to announce you're not the producer anymore. I think I'm ready. And what has become almost a semi-annual ritual.
It once every five, six years?
Something like that. It's time to once again announce the demotion of my best friend, Rob Spiewak, on this show.
Let's give him a nice round of applause.
Actually, this is a move that has been underway for a long time. And Rob just what do you call it when, like, the president has the job? He's a lame duck.
He's a lame duck administration right now.
Rob has been a lame duck for a while, and he's not the producer anymore. John Norman is the producer and has been the producer for a while, and there's really no nice, unawkward way to work this into the show.
Oh, I thought you did a fine job. I'm taking a job at Cracked Magazine.
I said to say that our friend Rob is back to doing what he does best.
That's right.
Just this.
Do we have flowers for him today?
No, the good news is he gets to keep his old job.
Goes back to his old job. It's another...
It's like getting flowers.
It's another... It's not a lateral move.
No, it's a demotion.
It is.
It's another step backward, but he's done it before. He knows how to do it.
I would like, before the show is over, to be promoted and demoted again, if possible. One more time,
there's,
you know.
Still time.
Just for fun.
Now, when you got the job
yes.
way back when, you knew you would eventually have this
of
happen.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
You know this is going
to
happen.
Although there's a new twist this time, because when I had to meet with Hughes to have this happen, this is the first time I had to pay for parking to get it done. And that was a hell of a day.
You can expense that.
So that must have been
special.
No, you
can't.
It must have been special when you were paying your parking, when you were leaving the parking
very,
garage.
Very nice.
That's
yeah,
very nice.
That's right.
So is that your acceptance speech then on the demotion?
Is there an acceptance or
well,
is there a decline?
I mean, he was playing the Miss America music. You know, I was just...
John should have to accept.
John, do you have anything you'd like to say?
John, how do you feel having the most tenuous job in the world?
Johnny?
Yeah.
Norman!
Yeah, thank you.
Come on, John.
Thank you.
Come on, John.
Thank you. He has to thank
you. John's been kicking ass back there for a couple of months now behind the scenes, helping us out with a lot of stuff.
Well, easy act to follow.
I agree.
I'm kidding, of course. No, I'm not. I think that, but now everything, and it's kind of felt uncomfortable since this has happened. I believe Rob is comfortable, in his old job. And John seems to be fitting in quite nicely.
More importantly, I'm comfortable.
You're comfortable.
That's most important, you big lug.
I agree.
John, I hated doing the show and he's just effing things up. I just had to yell at him all the time.
It's not fun.
A big doofus. So much better just to yell at you when you won't shut up like about something that you know about, like Cracked Magazine.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, seriously, Cracked is coming out. Let me make sure I'm serious about the comedy magazine.
So just
it's when his comedy fuse doesn't light. And he's got two fuses. He's got several fuses. But the fuse that controls the comedy is usually white hot. Most of the time, I'm very happy with that. Mm-hmm. Then there's the knowledge fuse. And sometimes the knowledge fuse will short out the comedy fuse, like that just happened with the crack.
Are these like bomb fuses or like circuit breaker
fuses?
These
are circuit breaker. Little,
okay.
Like the kind you'd have in a car.
Okay, very good.
On a little board.
And
there,
what's the third fuse?
Your one-note fuse, which is always on. And is the biggest fuse.
This is Robert DeMille, man.
And that's the biggest fuse on the panel.
It's not even a fuse. We just jammed a penny in there.
Oh, that one lights up on a sunny day.
That fuse is going always.
It's like burning ants under a magnifying glass.
He wouldn't, like, for example, if it was something to do with that fuse, he wouldn't have jumped in with a cracked comment. He wouldn't do that because his one-note fuse is all-seeing, all-encompassing.
Well, you big lug, you are an awful producer. You're great on
Agreed.
The show. You're great on the show doing what you're doing. And, John, you're an outstanding producer. And you have been for a couple of months. And I just wanted to give John the credit he deserves.
Very nice.
And give you the credit you deserve.
I will accept it gratefully.
for once again being demoted. But
what advice would you have for people that have been... Is it three times or twice?
I think it's twice. Two officially and once he was interim.
So let's say just three times.
Three times.
What advice would you have for somebody that's working for a company where you are demoted not once, not twice, but three times? How do you keep your motivation in that case? What advice would you have to people that might be in a similar situation?
Find yourself a company that is ever so forgiving, like CBS.
That's true.
And also, don't make the mistake I made.
Right.
Now they're going to have to re-chisel my tombstone.
Oh, I see.
Trying to plan ahead, and the epitaph again has to change. Unless, of course, I can weasel in there again before September 08. I'm not ruling anything out.
Have we created a new job title for him now that he's been demoted a third time, or will it be assistant producer?
Assistant producer / jester.
Jester.
That is what it says on his CBS personnel form now.
Not in parentheses, failure.
That's what you're filed under.
But you have to hold it up to a light bulb to see that, is how you have to do that. But again, I do want to thank CBS for, again, the second chance and the third failure and charging me for parking.
Charging you for parking.
There she is.
I think if you want to know how to fail three times, I think that says it right there. Remember, focus on the important details.
But here's the thing,
like parking.
It's all I've got left, Mike. He wasn't focused on it before.
He fails, but he still gets his job.
He does.
He fails, but he's still here.
He's still here. And is that really a failure? Anybody with any position on this show, is that a failure? I think not. Yes, Buzz, you're absolutely
right. He's like cancer. We don't have a cure for cancer. We don't have a cure for Rob Spiewak.
I'm in remission.
We all, he's like, you know what he is? He's like a habit. We all know he's bad for us, but we'd really miss him if he was gone.
We keep lighting up.
We keep lighting up each and every day.
I'm all bad you, for you.
You big lug, so the good news is congratulations. You're still my best friend.
See, that is good news.
The bad news is, congratulations, you've been demoted again.
Is that really bad news?
No, it's not bad news.
No,
great news. Thank God.
Because you know, and I, let me turn this off for a second. You and I really both know that behind the scenes it was making us nuts.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That there are just things that Rob, God bless him, is not equipped to deal with, mainly being the jerk-offs behind the scenes, you know, the corporate people.
And don't sell yourself short, guys. It wasn't just making you guys nuts. It was making everybody in this goddamn studio nuts. It really was. Everybody.
It feels good.
Everybody was, because when you two are off kilter, everybody's off kilter.
It feels good to be in remission.
We can be off kilter, and it won't be as bad as when you guys are off kilter. Don and I can have one of those days, and, you know, we'll punch our way through, and it won't really matter. But when you guys are off kilter, it's just like, you know, you're walking around with cheeks the size of a, you know, of a red candle. And he's ready seriously to stab anyone in the eye with an ice pick. And it's just, I'm glad to have things back because, you know, Buzz and I react to these things too.
Happy is good. And I want to say that ever since this has made an official move, I haven't had a single heart attack.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing.
No pinched nerves and no cold arms.
Your cheeks look good today.
Yeah.
I feel good.
Yeah. Look at him. He's even handling this public demotion.
He's good
with
at that.
A lot of color in his
he's
face.
He's a pro. He's a pro in that. How's your butt today?
You know, good. Not a trace of blood.
There you go. See?
Today was a really good ass day.
There he is.
That's Robbie, see, it's all coming back.
Everything's fixed.
All right, Robbie. Well, welcome back to the dark side.
All right, let's see if we can get till 7 without another demotion. We got 3 hours and 20 minutes, and I feel pretty good.
Well, the only other stop would be the front door, so I think you're okay.
I do, too.
I think you're fine.
Well, I know you're looking for interns.
He's aware of that. He's aware of that.
All right, there he is, former producer Rob Spiewak. Uh-huh. I've just been dying to say that. Bro, and, you know, Rob has been, don't anybody listen to this and think, oh, my God, we're, you know, beating up on Rob. Poor Rob. Woe is Rob. This has been going on behind the scenes since we came back at the first of the year, and it just now is an appropriate time just to get it out there.
I will say on record that we are very fortunate to have Rob back in his old position, and so is he. Well said. Very good. See, so everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. You know, everything is now fallen into place.
Things are going good. Mm-hmm. Things are going good. I mean, really.
Yeah.
We used to be loaded up on.
You know, when you pause, sometimes I often wonder, what are you waiting to say? I think we all know it's going well.
Look at him now. Look at his body language now.
Well, his body language is better than his. Man, it is better than it was when he was producer. Because I'll do my impression of him when he was producer.
Okay, go ahead.
I wish this was TV sometimes.
Oh, it's just visual, right? Does Rob just head down?
Head down.
Head down, arms at his side.
Shoulders curved. I've never seen anyone that would assume a position of nothingness that he just couldn't move. And I felt bad for him when he was in that because the arms would be at the side. And I didn't, you know, I mean, you don't know. It was motionless. And it was a bot. You couldn't spring to attention from that position.
No,
you were arms at the side, head down.
Here's the thing with Rob and I specifically. We would end up doing a lot of stuff on the show that Rob and I thought was funny. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, seriously. How many times you pitch me on Jew to Jew and I go, huh? And there'd be a part of me thinking, God, we just did that last week. Then I go, well, God, it is fun to do.
It is.
So and now we'll do it in real life and not on the show.
Very good.
And we will do Jew to Jew. Uh-huh. Just I'm very proud. We've not done Jew to Jew yet.
Jew to Jew was
in the year 2008.
True. Usually a bit that came out of
7. Right, I said 07.
It would come out of a guest who was not particularly interesting, and to make it interesting. We were required to do that to make it interesting.
Well, everybody's heard
pretty well. Yeah,
me screaming at Rob about what worked and didn't work on the show. So, anyway,
Thank God I'm still working on the show.
John is back there just running circles around your ass.
Oh, he's coiling.
Seriously, I mean the quality of the website, the guests, the entire mood around here. My God, he's made you look like a rank amateur. Welcome back.
It is good to be back, and I'll try to have the upbeat, fun attitude that John has. I'll follow with that.
See, yeah. Maybe you're right. See, maybe that's it. Maybe that's there has to be. John's got that certain something that all producers that do well on this show have to have.
That, and he's like Santa Claus.
Why is he like Santa Claus?
Yeah, how's he like Santa Claus?
He's all joy all the time. All fun cheerful. And ho, ho,
oh, I see. You're being sarcastic now.
No, no. Am I? John, buddy.
Listen, my funny Valentine. You're fine. You're aces. Don't worry about it.
Okie doke.
Just busting your chops.
Ho, 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 John.
John?
John, don't fire him, okay?
John, anything you'd like to say?
Right. It says it all.
How's it been sitting back there for 2 months with people saying the show's really kicking ass, Johnny, and you've had to just sit back there and just go,
It's fine. You know, that's my job. I'm here to make you guys look good. I'm not in it for the glory.
Is he really not? I believe that. That's somebody I...
Unlike you.
Not what he says behind the scenes.
No, of course not. What's he say behind the scenes?
He says, look at me, I'm awesome.
Look at me, I'm awesome. Constantly. Can't live with him.
Tired of hearing it, really.
That's the behind-the-scenes update of the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, because John says that, look at me, I'm awesome.
Look at me, I'm awesome.
I am awesome. All right, you big lug. Welcome back.
Thank you, great to be back.
Welcome back. Okay, I can take that off my list. Now, that's another thing. That's the last, I believe, the last bit of awkward business that Rob and I have had between us. For the last week, every day on my little index card where I write things down, Sharpies, I've had written down every day for a week?
Probably, yeah.
For a week.
You were... speaking to me on Friday's show, and I believed that you were leading with it and ready to go, and you had second thoughts at the last minute, right?
I just thought, I'll just wait for him to F something up.
Mm-hmm. That was the springboard right
and
there.
Sure enough.
You had to wait a whole week. How about that? Save the best something.
Don't build yourself up too much, Buttercup.
Look at John. Isn't he awesome?
He is spectacular. But really, Robbie, if you ever really want to feel good about yourself,
stop there. No,
yeah. How you doing, Joe?
Yeah, we didn't get a Joe Ardinger update.
Wandering back. Oh, he's got a Coke for you. I was going to say he went to the bathroom, but he's thinking preemptively.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hey, did you hear about Rob? Of course, you've known about it for a while.
What?
Yeah, there we go.
What are your feelings on the Rob John situation?
Oh, it's fine.
That's really what you get in real life, too.
How does it feel to have Rob be a peer now and no longer your direct supervisor?
That's fine.
Fine. Thanks.
I agree.
Thanks, Joe.
Is John awesome?
Yeah.
Wow. How are you doing, Joe?
Thanks, Joe.
Sometimes a true miracle this show hits the air every day. Truly a miracle.
Joe comes to play, doesn't he?
Yeah. Fine. It's okay. It's all right. The chain of command is now John, Rob, Joe.
Good. Well, actually, it's Rob, John, sign off. Rob, John, sign off, then Joe.
Exactly.
Joe now comes after we actually sign off.
And it's a happier place that we live in.
Agreed.
Right now. It's very, very nice.
Are you happy?
I'm delighted.
Are you delighted? Are you happy, John?
Delighted.
How about you, Joe?
Sure.
Sure. That's better than fine. Or is it? I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't know.
He's lying!
Yeah, I think so.
So, there it is.
He's lying!
A peek behind the scenes.
There you go. It's a happy day for all of us here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Well, it's been happy for a while because this is just the announcement. It's been
right.
It's been in place for a while now.
Anyway, Rob's off to Kinko's to change his resume. And when we come back, are you ready for this? A star of tomorrow today.
Ah,
ooh. Okay. This is no offense to the other producer.
Right.
This is why things are happening now on this show. Thank you, Robbie. Here you go. We actually made it a couple of weeks ago when we had the lady with the gigantic cyst.
Yes.
Remember, we had the lady with the big fat lady that didn't know she had the cyst?
Yes.
And we had her on the show a couple of weeks ago, had the exclusive interview with her, had her up on our website.
She was lovely.
She was on the Today Show this morning, as if as if they had discovered her, as if
right.
she was their newsmaker of the week.
Mm-hmm.
No, here we go.
No, we found that big pussy cyst before.
Mm-hmm. Ready for this one? Mike, you love these stories.
I do.
A 420-pound woman is shocked when doctors x-ray her and find out she is 9 months pregnant, and she had no idea.
She had the baby yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, she has? Because I thought I heard she had it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, nice name.
Yes.
Nice name. Oh, I see. Oh, God. Well, there's a picture. Mother and mother and baby are doing
fine.
This almost looks like something from our Photoshop contest.
She's lovely.
Well, we'll talk to her in a second.
Wow.
Talk to her in a second.
Man. You know, that happens all the time, doesn't it? At least happens a couple of times a year.
That's gold on our show.
I remember the first one we had, and I believe that was when the baby was born, when the woman was on the toilet.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
What happened? Trying to think who that producer was. Way back then.
I'm not quite sure.
God, there's been so many. Let me see.
Johnny Metro.
Johnny Metro, then Frank, then Diana, then Rob, then the one of which we do not speak, then Beth Ann, then Rob,
then
John.
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 And
Rob.
Nine.
Nine producers.
It's not bad.
Nine producers in over 20 years of radio broadcasting.
Every couple of years.
Every couple of years. That's pretty good.
Sure.
We still meet regularly.
The support group.
What, you and all the other people only we hate Don and my group?
Exactly.
Or more specifically, the You Hate Me group?
The lovely support group.
Producing on.
You can always find us. John's there yelling how awesome he is.
Well, we'll start the show today with a fat chick. This has been kind of an awkward little thing. I'm
Do you feel good? Do you feel that you're good that you got it off your chest?
No, I don't feel it went well at all.
You don't think so?
No, but I don't care.
It's over now, but it's irrelevant.
It's not my job.
It was a job to make that public. The press release is out. Here are his flowers.
There she is.
I'm just glad to see smiling faces around here again. That's what I care about.
Okay, me too.
We should break.
I make producers for the working man because that's what I am and that's who I care about.
As Rob said to me, I could take an S in a box and mark it guaranteed. You
know. Richard!
Richard, don't hide from your feelings. All right, good for you, Rob. Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Mon congrats.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know something, Junior? You don't know how to run your plate. You're 32 years old. You don't know how to run your plate. The omelet is supposed to come out even with the bread.
Tony, I don't want all that bread.
Uh-huh.
You made me too much bread. You always make me too much bread.
And you don't even dip your bread. I made the omelet nice and soft in the middle so you could dip your bread.
Get out of my eggs.
A little bit of hot pepper on it.
You start putting hot pepper on my eggs?
You don't even butter your bread. Look, no jelly? Here, this nice jelly Anton made. Apricot and pineapple. Oh, nice. Here.
I told you I don't want that much bread. Don't you understand? I've been telling you that for 100 years. You love bread. I don't love bread. I like bread. Don't you understand I gotta watch my weight? Can you learn anything from Salvatore? 39 the man was. 39 years old, and he's dead, 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 Dom. And that killed him.
The Don and Mike Show.
Whoa.
The sun likes them. Don and Mike.
Whoa.
Okay. Well, hi, everybody.
Shouting all about love.
I've been trying to lead into our next guest. And she is joining us now on the Don and Mike Newsmaker Hotline. To say hello to April. Hi, April.
Hi.
It's April in March.
April, if I pronounce your last name correctly, it's Branham?
Correct.
Wow. April Branham, and now is the dad on the phone as well, Walter?
Dad's on the phone, Walter Scott Edwards the second, and now I have a third in the generation here.
And you didn't know that, did you, Walter?
I'm telling you, we had the whole family over on the Sunday before. We were sitting down watching a movie, and no one had the slightest idea. April's dad was there, her aunt, her sister, me. We're just all sitting down having a nice meal and watching the TV. The next day we go to the hospital for some problems with the abdominal pains. And next thing you know, we find out we're pregnant.
Now, golly. April.
Yes.
Let me say, I certainly don't want to embarrass you, darling. May I ask your weight?
You know, I seriously really don't know.
Was it like over?
I'm assuming it's 420, but...
Okay, about...
420, wait, was it in that range before the baby was born?
Yeah, I used to weigh like almost 500.
Wow.
But I had gastric bypass.
When did you have the gastric bypass?
Probably 5 to 7 years ago.
All right, so you're at about 400, and when the baby was born, how much did Walter Jr. weigh?
Walter the third.
7 point...
Walter the third.
7 pounds, 7 ounces.
Well, I can understand how you could not know.
You probably wouldn't. Did you feel, did you feel any movement at all with the baby?
No.
I mean, you carried the baby to term, right?
Yeah, shocking as that may seem.
You didn't, but you didn't feel it because of your weight, do you think? Is that...
No, what happened was when I had lost the weight, it came off quick because I couldn't keep anything down, but it was hard for me to exercise because I had, too much pain because I had the open one, not like the three hole gastric bypass that they do now. I had like full incision.
Three holes.
So it took longer to recuperate. But when you lose weight that quick and you're not working out to make it turn into muscle, it just turns basically into skin.
Okay, here's a question I'm sure the doctors asked you. did you notice that you were not having periods?
Okay, now the thing about overweight women, I can't speak for everybody because I know everybody's not like that. My periods have been messed up pretty much all my adult life.
Really?
You know.
See, I'm curious about that. Go ahead.
You know, and that's the funny thing. Like, and I thought I was starting, you know, early menopause because it runs in my family.
How old are you, April? That's one thing we didn't get.
I'm 39.
Oh, so, okay. All right. So that's you know, it's up there having a baby.
So I thought, you know, it's just early menopause.
And,
yeah, right.
And then you go to the doctor, and the doctor says you're pregnant. And I think the story that we had read was that you were 9 months pregnant. So how long did you have between the time when you found out when you're pregnant and you had the baby?
I found out Monday. I gave birth Wednesday. Yeah, you found out Monday at 5 p.m., and we had the baby on Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. Yeah,
wow.
So not...
248
hours.
Now, Walter, how do you deal with that? One day you got a wife who's just the same wife you've had, and then the next day you find out you're going to have a baby.
Oh, my God. It threw me for a loop. I got to work on Monday. What little work we did, we were in the middle of a deal purchasing a music store. But I was buying a music store that had closed down. I was going to liquidate it. And the next thing you know, I was thrown into a hospital, and I didn't emerge from that hospital until Friday. Tried to save the deal. Kind of lost that deal. But
now, don't worry about the deal. You got a son now.
And I got a son.
April, I'm curious about you.
I got a great son.
April, I want to ask you about your gastric bypass. You said you had it 7 years ago. So was it not successful, the bypass? Because, I always think that dramatically reduces your amount of calories that you can take in.
Oh, it does. But what happens is when I lost the weight quickly to begin with.
How much weight did you lose at the beginning?
I mean, at first I had lost probably like 85 to 100 pounds, but because you lose it quickly, you hit plateaus, and then you get to where you're working out, but you don't see any results, and then your skin is just hanging there, but you can't do nothing about the skin because it's extra skin.
Right, can't do nothing.
And it just gets you even more depressed because you're like, okay, what am I going to do now? I have extra skin. I have no medical coverage.
And so do you have to have it reversed to start eating again?
I would never have it reversed. No.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, I always thought like gastric bypass, you just couldn't eat a lot.
No, you can't.
How surprised were you?
But you can still go back to your bad eating habits.
Oh, okay. How surprised were you when the doctor told you you were pregnant, 9 months pregnant, and you didn't know?
How shocked was I?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked were you?
20.
So you had absolutely no clue. And is this, I mean, you guys sound like you're pretty upbeat. Is this a blessing? I mean, this, you know.
Absolutely. Oh, my God, we were thrown in.
And I gave up hope, and then.
And then I went out and bought a bunch of dogs.
You mean to substitute for the kids?
And peanut butter?
Money, not knowing, you know, well, maybe we shouldn't have did that, maybe we shouldn't have did that. But,
well,
what can you do? You can't, I wouldn't. Reverse
well,
it for anything.
How about it, Walter? You got that done. You congratulations, Walter.
Walter, do you...
Oh, it's something I've been dreaming about since, oh, my God, since I was 20.
How long have you guys been married?
Honestly, not yet.
You're not married yet, so you live together, you two.
Yes.
Okay. Are you gonna make her an honest
absolutely.
Woman there, Walter?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't make Walter the
son. Oh, now wait a minute. April said liar. Absolutely. April said liar.
She's just
kidding. I'm kidding.
We have a beautiful picture of mother and daughter that we'll put up on our website. And have you cats been contacted by Today's Show, Good Morning America, Fox and Friends, anything like that yet?
Not that I know.
Oh, it'll be happening. You better get ready for your TV fame. Better get ready for that.
Let me get my staples out first, man.
Did you have a C-section?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gee. They come out on Wednesday.
And April.
I remember coming home once.
I just want to warn
and my father says, C's are not allowed in this house.
They hurt. What's the son of a gun?
What's that, April?
About epidurals.
Yes.
Yeah.
The women, you see women on TV, oh, just give me the epidural.
Right.
You know what?
What?
It's not friendly and fun.
Oh, sometimes they don't work.
No. Just a warning.
Yeah.
Did you videotape it?
No. I'm not. I walked into the operating room and they were having a. I looked at the floor until I got around to where she was, sat down and just stared at her.
Now, April, are you going to use this to kind of motivate you to get back on the stick?
No. Oh, people don't understand this about April. She's very mobile. She has no problem getting around.
I'm looking at her picture. I wouldn't peg her for over three.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either.
But that was a compliment, sir.
Yeah.
No, the funny thing is, people assume that all big people have trouble getting around, but it's not true because I have friends. That weigh less than me to have problems getting around.
Yeah, right.
It's just because I've been big all my life.
Right.
I've learned to deal with it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, here she is, everybody.
And, you know, I can get around just as, you know, people didn't think I weighed that much. And I was telling them, like, really? You get around really well.
Lady who did not know she was pregnant, had a baby.
Oh.
We love these stories.
Yes, it's delightful, and sounds like you two are happy. And when's the wedding?
Oh, we don't know just yet. We don't know just yet, but it'll probably be sometime this summer. I have to make arrangements, make sure my family can get out there back east.
Walter, the last question I had is that obviously we can see what your wife looks like and your beautiful son. We have the picture. Can I get the family portrait? What do you look like, Walter? I'm just curious.
Are you in that picture? Are you the bald guy?
I'm not totally bald.
That's the baby.
That's the baby, Mike. That's the baby.
Oh,
yeah.
The baby.
Are you the guy in the... I see there's a second picture. Are you the guy who's leaning down, looking at the baby being held in someone else's...
Oh, yeah, that's my... Yeah, I know which picture you're looking at. That's my... That's April's sister holding the baby,
right, so
and I'm looking at my son.
That's you. Oh, well, then that's...
It's a nice little happy couple, and then we think you guys ought to get married this summer. Go ahead. Have the ceremony. It's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
And we wish you both the best of luck.
The show is a smorgasbord of people from around America.
And this is always
making
special.
News.
Yes.
And thank you for being on.
Yeah, it is so true that life is stranger than fiction.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
And you got to go for it. Got to take a bite out of that apple.
Got to take a bite out of
it. All right, well, you guys have a great day.
Okay, take care.
All right, head for the border.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Nice talking to you, honey.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, there they go.
There they are.
I asked it in this night, you know, as somebody who has been vilified on the internet the last couple of weeks, I've used that vilification to recommit, and to hear her, it was, I was asking, I said, now will the baby motivate you? But you heard she's 420 pounds and very mobile.
She's fine.
Sure she is.
Yeah.
She's fine. Sure she is.
No problem at all.
She didn't know she was pregnant.
No need to change.
No need to.
Get around.
The wedding will be as soon as they save up enough for the wedding.
Her friends tell her. They remark how well she gets around.
And I don't think Walter's enabling her at all, though.
No, it doesn't.
No, not at all.
And we'll put these pictures on our site, DonandMikeWebsite.com. It is absolutely what you always see. The stereotype is there.
Yeah.
Fat chick, really skinny guy.
What's great is how hot her sister is. Look at that picture. She looks like Beretta.
Is her sister there?
I thought that was a guy. I thought the picture was, remember that toddler that was on the news last week? That,
yes.
That little British boy that weighed 250 pounds.
Uh-huh.
There you go, Mike. Take a look at that picture.
I haven't seen a good close-up look. Oh, there they are.
Sister's holding the baby.
She looks like she's tall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's big. So she's big.
She'd have to be about 12 feet tall.
She's sexy. Anyway, you'll see her on the news. And remember, you heard her here first.
Right. Yes.
On the Don and Mike show.
When Matt Lauer is grilling her, you know.
When Matt Lauer asks, why did you eat your baby?
Star of tomorrow, today.
Yes,
and we think. And Rob, thank you for your help. Well, I don't want to make it like John's doing everything. Although I do want to keep track. Who, hold on. Who actually came up with that? Who came up with that?
That was basically your idea.
Oh, that's right.
Ah, very good.
Forgot that. Oops, kind of my idea.
Very good.
And you know, when we had the whole conversation about Rob, you should know, even though these dumbasses don't say anything, part of the reason that we had to do that on the air was because it's awkward for John around the radio station, being as this had not been announced. And it's also awkward for Rob. You don't want them putting out a memo, an internal memo that each of these guys got to flip out about. So it's easier to do it on the radio, and Rob and John work together in tandem, and
that's why we didn't, you know, the whole thing with producer, assistant producer, that got a little cumbersome, so now they are both going to be referred to as Imagineers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to make everything work quite nicely.
That's right. Anyway, Rob's back to doing what he does best, and John's back there doing what he does, and anyway, that's
pretty soon April will be back to doing what she does
best. And how was the hockey game?
My hockey game?
Here's why I ask. You mentioned you went to the hockey game yesterday.
Yes, went to the. I had a whole day in Washington D.C. that was quite fun.
Oh.
You talk about going to a chick flick. I saw guys that were going to a far more severe penance than that.
Really? What's that?
I went to the Kennedy Center. Took my daughters to see a show, Carnival, and it was a musical with puppets and stuff. I thought they'd like it, so. I'm not going to put that up with a Hugh Grant movie because, it wasn't a bad show, but it still was a musical, and it was a watch checker for both Carla and myself. My kids had a great time, but, that's the duty that you do. However, walking into the Kennedy Center, we had to walk by, I believe, the Opera House in the Kennedy Center, in the middle of the day on a Saturday, and watch the men that were being walked in to go to the ballet.
Oh.
And let me tell you something.
Oh.
Of all of it, I could handle probably about anything.
You're right.
Go to the symphony orchestra, go to the opera, but man, ballet.
Go to the ballet.
I mean, get me a rifle, really. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from the New York City Ballet, which is what I think it was. I know they're talented people, but the looks. And I was walking in just looking at the faces of these guys that looked like they were going to the gallows.
Yeah.
A couple of them were, there were your standard, nerd nicks that were in there probably really looking forward to it.
Faggot.
Didn't say that, Ann Coulter.
Faggot.
Didn't say that like you
faggot.
Do.
Faggot.
And then there were the guys that were being dragged, and it was very frustrating. But the hockey game was, I had a strategy this time going to the hockey game.
Strategy? Yeah.
After the whole Jabba the Hutt week, the perfect 10, Mike sitting next to Carla, and not her 10, and we formed the number 10 when I sat next to her, yes.
The best Photoshop that I've seen on our website is maybe the simplest one.
Okay, I've seen almost all of them.
It was about you. It made me laugh so hard. I never do this. I never do that thing where you copy something and send it to people.
You
forwarded it?
Yes, because I find it so incredible. You get that right away. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
please stop it.
Right.
It's always Daffy Duck having sex with Bart Simpson.
Sure.
But someone took the Kool-Aid
picture. Yeah, and put me in the seat next to Carla.
It was just, no, but it was on top of your shirt.
I know.
It was just the Kool-Aid picture with the big smile.
I know. And they did a variation on that too, you know, with that, you know. Did they do the, was it with my face inside the Kool-Aid
jar? No, the one that I saw was just the generic.
Just my body with the Kool-Aid head.
With the Kool-Aid head.
They did my face inside the Kool-Aid head too.
I didn't see that one.
Did you see me as Bob's big boy?
Oh, I saw that one on Friday.
That one's been done too.
Nice. But
my favorite is still the lady on all fours. The you know, April Branham. When they put me on that one.
Tell everybody what you did at the hockey game. Tell them what you told me during the break.
Go to the hockey game, and you know, I'm very aware now. I'm just staring at the cameras for the coverage of the game, because I'm saying, you know, I could be aware. You can't be at a sporting event. No. You really can't be aware when they're going to photograph.
What started this Photoshop thing is that Mike was at the Capitals game 2 weeks ago.
Right.
There was a shot of him on TV with his girlfriend. One of our listeners found the shot, emailed it to us, the still picture,
right,
and that started everything else.
Well, I'm cracking Carl up, because during every break and play, when obviously that's when they do the crowd shots,
right.
I'm smiling in that phony way that I smile. So they would drop the puck, and then there'd be a little action, then they'd stop the action, and I'd be like, okay, so how are you? How's it going? Why don't you give me a little kiss? Yes, isn't this great? Fantastic. And then I would be doing it silently, so I'd be looking at her going, oh, of course. Oh, yeah, super, super job. Okay, plays back. Then I dropped
my
face like
this. So you were just pretending to be social.
Yeah, I
very
forgot.
Animated.
I forgot probably in the third period. If they were gonna
in case
get me,
you were on TV.
If they were going to get me, like, naturally. And, you know, everybody naturally, when you see people at a sporting event, usually, you know, you catch them when they're being themselves.
Right.
And people don't smile, really, when they're being themselves, unless there's something particularly funny at that particular moment. And so if they caught me in the third period when I'd gotten tired of the gag, they would have gotten the real me just sitting there. Actually, I left at the end of the second period, so that would have been it, because halfway through the second period...
That's
they would
what
have
April's
been.
Husband said, too. Oh. He left at the end of the second period.
No, if they'd gotten me halfway through the second period when the Capitals were losing badly, and I was angry at them, they would have gotten the real me. They really would have gotten, you know, oh, come on, yeah. And they would have gotten my kids, Catherine, who was getting a cold, and Elizabeth, who had been up too late the night before, in that perfect kid thing. Let's take a look at these two youngsters enjoying the hockey game. Let's get a close-up here. And both my kids just going,
I
want to go home.
I think it's like during every break in the action that you were...
In the first period, I did
you
that.
You turned around to Carl and putting big, phony smile on
I was
face.
Totally paranoid. I walked in there totally paranoid, and I look up, and you know, we're sitting across from where the cameras are mounted, at least the cameras that I could see. I didn't look up in back of me because it's tough. I'm so fat to turn around in the seat. So I looked across and saw the cameras there, and I see one like that looked like it was in our general direction. But then they do a thing where you're supposed to, they play YMCA, and all the kids are supposed to jump up and get on camera.
Yeah,
and my kids got on camera.
Oh.
So that made me, as opposed to feeling great joy, that enhanced my paranoia. I was very happy that they had been put on the giant jumbotron. But I was very, at that moment, I'm like, okay, the kids have been identified. They know where I am. This is very, very dangerous. What type of photoshopping will be happening?
Well, that's what Comcast is doing. Comcast is scouring the crowd, trying to find you again.
Well, you know, it's my buddy that does the color for the Caps, so I'm worried that he will, you know, I still, when I see him, the thing is, I think they're way the hell up there now.
Yeah.
Unlike the old Capitol Center. So I don't, if I ever bump into him, I want to find out if he said anything. I still don't know, because those incredible ratings that the hockey telecast generate. But, you know, I seriously do. Now I truly regret renting the tuxedo.
That was too much.
That was a little taking it too far. That's good.
I liked it.
That's good, Rob.
I liked it. Okay. Well, thank you, April.
Yes, April Branham.
April Branham. Branham. What's her name? April Branham.
April Branham and
Walter Edwards.
And where's baby Walter?
Uh-oh.
We've lost baby Walter again. Oh, he's next to the phone.
He's smoking weed somewhere. Oh, when we come back, how about we listen to that tape?
I'd love to.
This is all over every single Besides News show. It's on YouTube. It's on Google. It's on everything. I think it's in Texas, state of Texas.
Yes, it is.
Couple of teenage boys, like 15 and 17, something like that.
17 and 18.
They got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old
that they're babysitting.
Well, they're watching.
Yeah.
And anyway, they've rolled a couple of blunts.
Right.
And shouldn't laugh at it.
No, it's wrong. Even I think it's wrong.
It's wrong, but it's funny
because it's so backwards, so white trash.
They're black, Mike.
They're black. Okay. All right.
So black, so poor. As Will Butcher would say, funny to see a two-year-old with a big-ass blunt.
Oh, my God.
And the two-year-old...
Did they catch the guys that did this?
Oh, yeah. No, yes. They got it.
They're in jail or something like that?
There's a happy ending to
good.
The story.
Okay. Well, then that's different.
And the kids have been put in protective custody.
So it's the kids actually have it in their hands. Yeah.
Yeah, the little two-year-old.
On their own.
And at one point, do you have the tape where he says, are you getting the munchies now?
Yeah, it's like 20 seconds. It's not. It's more something to look at here.
Right.
Hold on. The guy said he wants some more. You got the money. Y'all want to take that sister and give y'all $5 in peace.
The thing about it that is so twisted,
it's sick. And
it is sick.
It's sick, but it's funny.
They wouldn't have even known about it if the guy hadn't committed another crime and they found the videotape in that search.
What are y'all?
So he videotaped them doing this.
But police have studied the tape, and the two-year-old actually stands and holds the joint by himself, inhales through it by himself, and then the kids stumble around and fall down.
You call that Buzz? What? Prodigy.
Yes.
I've never heard Buzz have so much pride in his voice.
No, not pride.
Buzz has never wanted to have kids before.
Now he does.
Until now.
Oh, that is so sick.
It's bad.
Oh, why are we laughing? Because you have to.
But really?
Because if you don't laugh, you cry.
And it is funny.
And the happy ending is they lock them all up.
It is. It's awful, but it's funny.
Hold on, the guy said he wants some more.
My kid.
That's the bleeding. Now he wants you got the money. Y'all want to take your sister and give y'all $5 in peace?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
That is a mind blower.
Yeah. And that's not even the best tape. And then I wanted to also not the Ann Coulter tape is not the best tape.
No.
It's not the best tape either.
It's not.
No. Oh, we'll hear the best tape for the weekend when we come right.
Very good.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't want somebody sucking up to me because they think I am going to help their career. I want them sucking up to me because they genuinely love me.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready.
It always up in my business, which is Ebonics, or being in my face and annoying the bejesus out of me.
Just drink the juice they give you. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, hi, everybody.
Good.
Faggot.
Yeah. Drink it. How about you, Steve?
But it is chilly, and it is windy.
Steve Villanueva.
Villanueva, here's the forecast for this weekend, people.
News Channel 4.
You gave me the forecast for Charlie M.?
I used to be Doogie Howser's best friend.
Now I'm a weather forecaster.
Really?
Let's see what the map looks like.
Where's the tape of that guy doing the weather?
Super duper, here we go.
Sometimes the Amish just have it right.
No problems.
They know what they're doing.
It's cold out there this morning.
It certainly is.
You know, we tool on the weather, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And girls. I'll include Sam Palka there.
One of the things we enjoy doing.
But when we get a weekend weather guy, like this guy. This guy, Steve Villanueva.
Let's see what's happening up there. Up across the Canadian Rockies.
The guy that drove us crazy a couple of weeks ago when he could not make a fist if it was going to rain or if it was going to snow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the thing with his S's, and he's got the big Groucho Marx eyebrows, and he got the hair that's all scoogied up. He's got the stuff, the scrunch stuff in his hair.
And because it's TV, he could be 6 feet tall, but he looks like he's about 3 feet tall.
Huh.
He likes sitting there with his big cufflinks on.
Okay.
Looks like a little boy wearing his father's suit.
Let's go over to the map, shall we?
You know, yeah, and on top of that, it's really windy, so that's the real issue this morning. It is very breezy out there, making it feel really, really cold. Right now, even though we're in the 30s, it feels like the 20s. This afternoon, temperature is about 15 degrees cooler than yesterday.
Guys like this bug me so much on TV.
And people might be hearing him and saying, hey, guys, you're exaggerating.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's what we do. Leave us alone.
But you got to listen to him. He always sounds, and even when he's on the microphone, he does his thing. He sounds like he's just got a big thing. I spit right underneath his.
I heard that. Yeah.
His thing, he's waiting to let it go, smiling. I got this stuff in my hair. Look at my hair, ladies. You might want to watch out for that Alberta clipper.
But with the winds, it will feel much cooler than that. All right, so let's go to the wall. We'll talk weather. Here's a
oh, that's right. Let's go to the wall. Let's go to the wall, the magical wall, the magical munchkin wall.
The capital, and it's clear out there. Partly cloudy skies right now.
It's clear out there. Super, how you doing, Steve?
Lots of sunshine, but it is chilly, and it is windy. All right, so here's what's happening. It is currently 36 degrees, and we are seeing partly cloudy conditions. And notice the winds right now gusting up to 28 miles.
Ugh, windy. I am all it's out of helium. It's not what he's saying. It's how he says it. I'm very frustrated. And it's the phony smile that's pasting on his face. Well, folks, March is in like a lion and out like a lamb. Super duper. Where's my little boy husky suit? Let's go to the weather wall. Oh, fantastic.
All right, this will be the story today and tomorrow as well. And the wind chill right now is 23 degrees.
23 degrees. 23 big degrees.
But it is chilly, and it is windy.
A little birdcagey there. Hey, they're saying the magic word again for Wednesday, you know.
Yeah. Yes, I know. We got a chance of some of that wintry mix.
But they're already starting to say it's going to be quick.
Yeah.
Which means, well, 4 to 5 feet.
And it depends. If you live in the Shenandoah Valley or out by the mountains.
Now, listen, this is something that just pisses me off. I've said it before. We live in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital.
Right.
There are no mountains in Washington, D.C. If you want to go to the mountains, it's a four-hour drive away. If you're watching TV from Washington, D.C., 4 hours away.
I lived at one point in the foothills of the Shenandoah.
Yes.
Well, you still don't deserve to have your weather talked about on the Washington, D.C. stations.
Well, but I wouldn't be what they're talking about. The Shenandoah Valley is way the hell out.
I mean, they're talking about...
You're right, about four hours.
When they're teasing this, the impending whatever it is clipper that's coming this week.
But now, that area out there is considered a western suburb.
Yeah, it is, really.
It truly is.
It cannot be, though. Oh. It cannot be.
Drive through what I saw today and you'd know it is. It really is. People coming from further west and further west to work in D.C.
I'm sure. I was just saying, like Steve Villanueva.
Steve Villanueva, Don.
I know, Mike, that the urban sprawl is out there.
It's insane is what it is.
And a lot of people's commutes are like 3 hours away.
I hear it on good authority that they actually commute in from West Virginia now.
Mm-hmm. But to those people, I say, screw you, find your own weather.
They don't have small. The towns are too small.
I don't want to see the weather where they say.
Where would you cut it off? What would be the line that you would cut it off?
I don't know, 30 miles outside the metro area.
All right.
Really, because, you know, you're not doing a public service. Here's where they are wrong. They say they're doing a public service by announcing weather for somewhere that's 4 hours away where you're going to have snow in the mountains. They're not doing it to help those people. They're doing it to get the hype machine going here.
Right.
Because all they want you to hear is snow in our western suburbs. Now, in the Shenandoah Valley, it's going to be the chance of snow in a higher elevation.
I agree what you're saying when you're talking about when they talk about western parts of our listening area. They usually, western parts, you can go out to the Ohio Valley. It's ridiculous. It really is.
Would you include Leesburg? Is that about the line?
The cutoff point?
Man. Yes, to be totally local with stuff. Yeah, that's about it. That's about the cutoff point.
Not Purcellville?
Purcellville does not make the cut, Mike.
I'm sorry. Winchester?
Winchester's an hour away from D.C. Does it make the cut?
Yeah. Isn't it a See if market? You get invited to the Apple Blossom Festival.
That's right.
Oh.
The parade? I mean, it was good enough for Dick Van Patten.
Everything is about you and your personal appearances, isn't it, Mike?
I've never made a personal appearance. I've just been out there for the Apple Blossom Festival.
Haven't you? What's the one that you was at with your kids?
Where you
threw the candy out when you was on the fire truck?
Well, that was in Dumfries. That might actually be... Is it Dumfries? Is that where I was?
It's a pretty name.
I think that's where I was. God, I don't remember. You mean where I judged the... Oh, no, I wasn't drinking, Rob. I'm just really trying to remember what town I was in. It was a small town.
Was it Luckett?
No, it wasn't Luckett.
Isolated.
It was a small town west of Manassas. and I don't remember it.
Not Pilot?
I think it was Dumfries.
No, Pilot.
Congressman Tom Davis was there, too. And he said, I like the weather to include all the western suburbs. But I think your Leesburg rule, we'd be inside of that. If you're going west, we'd be inside of that. That counts. Those are the western suburbs.
Mm-hmm. My point is, my long-winded point, they do it to shake people up. They say, there's a chance of Clipper systems coming through with a chance of snow and higher elevations in the mountains.
Well, they do the whole thing where they're pretending where the snow line is and all that. All that hocus pocus.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don.
Yeah.
Man, I'm out here in the Shenandoah Valley. What station am I supposed to watch?
Now, first off, are you really in the Shenandoah Valley?
Absolutely.
You're not supposed to be watching television. You're supposed to be trapping beaver.
First off, if you're in the Shenandoah Valley, there's no, what station are you listening to us on?
WJFK.
Does the signal go that way?
Hell yeah.
How far are you mileage-wise? Well, what town are you in the Shenandoah Valley?
I'm in Winchester.
You're in Winchester.
We've covered Winchester. That's an hour away from D.C. In my world, you don't get a...
If you're king of D.C., you're out.
You don't get the weather in Winchester, Virginia, on a Washington, D.C. TV station. There are media outlets in Winchester, Virginia.
Is there a television station in Winchester?
We got Channel 3 that's, it's just a college station.
Right, that's all you need if you live an hour outside a metro area.
Do they offer...
Don.
Do they offer weather? Does the TV station Channel 3 offer weather?
Hold on. Let me just cut this dumbass off for a second. Mike, he gets his local weather from the Hagerstown affiliate.
Yeah.
There is, up in that neck of the woods...
48.
There are channels that serve those particular areas.
Yeah, the Hagerstown channels are too small. He'd rather get the big boy out of Washington, D.C.
You got to have Steve Villanueva wave at telling you it's going to snow. Hey, Winchester, looks like you're going to get 3 to 5 inches.
He should take the local paper.
The paper.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, I'm one of the hundreds of idiots that commute 3.5 hours each way 5 days a week. I want weather.
Hold on, stop. You're lying because there is no way you commute 3.5 hours each way every day.
I leave my house at 4:30 in the morning. I get to the train station at 5:15 to pick up the 5:30 train that gets into Union Station, and then I pick up the Metro over to Arlington to get to Arlington by 8:00.
Oh, ouch!
God.
And so you mean you're not kidding? You are in transit 7 hours a day.
Yep. I sleep in the morning. I'm just in today, but normally I'm on the subway and then the train.
Where do you take your train from? Is it Harper's Ferry?
No, Martinsburg.
Martinsburg.
I drive from Berkeley Springs to Martinsburg.
Friend, there's no job worth that.
Efficiency expert.
There's no job worth spending 7 hours a day in your car.
I'm coming to that conclusion.
Uh-huh.
The good news is he gets off at noon.
you get to work at 8 and then you come home at what, 5? Is he gone?
He hung up.
He had to get his train.
He hung up.
Damn, long commute.
He leaves at 4:30, he said, in the morning, and gets to work at 8.
I'm sure he's not alone by a long shot.
At 8.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I don't want to get into a debate here with people and their commutes. I mean, if someone has to make a commute that long, more power to them. But still, you don't get weather from this city.
No.
I'm sorry, that's just the way it goes.
That's a heartless move on your part. That is a very heartless move.
Screw up, squatters.
Because they're there.
Why
are they squatters?
Because they're squatting in the metro area.
They're working in the metro area because they can't buy houses here, and they live way out in bum F because that's where they can,
So let them get their weather from bum F.
They don't have any weather out there.
Sure,
they don't have any weather forecasters out there.
Stop it, they do. They have their own TV stations.
I love it when you get passionate like this. They can't get their weather from anywhere else. They can't. Those poor people. Those
I'm going
poor
to drop it now,
because
now I know you don't care. You don't care about them either.
You don't either.
I don't
care about this argument.
There is a part of me that does get mad when they give weather for
A part of you, and I know deep down inside, there's a part of you that would like the weather to be, like, right in that... what would the radius be around your home, around your personal
five
residence?
5-mile radius?
A 5-mile radius.
Listen, I've already got that. I've already got the weather bug. Uh-huh. Okay, I've downloaded that already.
You can get shots for that.
The weather bug.
Hey, wait a minute. We didn't bring up the internet.
You don't.
They can get their weather from the internet.
You don't have
that.
You don't have that on your computer. I'm sure it's like a Trojan horse, just waiting for every possible virus to come.
Well, my little Yahoo has Manassas local weather.
That's a bad thing for viruses. That weather.
I loaded the Channel 9 weather bug.
I also look at the weather for Fort Myers, Florida, every day too, and tears. Little girl tears stream down my face every single morning when I see a low temperature of 63 and a high of 83.
Yeah.
It's like just sobbing. Just.
Well, I do have empathy for anyone who has that type of
I know you do. Of course
I truly do. But it also truly does bother me. It truly does. Mm-hmm. That they give the weather. Like, for instance, here's another city that they do this to. Ocean City, Maryland. It's 3 hours from D.C.
Yes. Right.
Okay. I got a place in Ocean City. I will tell you that in Ocean City, there is a CBS station, a Fox station, an NBC station, ABC. You got them all.
Aren't most of those located in Salisbury?
20 miles from Ocean City. So sometimes you'll see the dick on Channel 5 saying, and if you're watching us in Ocean City, well, I got news for you. Nobody's watching you in Ocean City because they're watching the big fat guy on Channel 47 give them the local weather.
That's the way it works.
I don't know why it just bothers me, Mike. I'm sorry, I'll let it
go. Well, these are the things. You know why it bothers you? Because you feel, like I do to a certain extent, that they are justifying their forecast that they can't really pin down by expanding their coverage map so that they can cover their ass
Thank
more.
Thank you. Bingo.
And that we agree on 100%.
And, there,
and that is
that
exactly
is,
what they're doing.
That is half a brain with half a... And you know, we just did that gay thing where... One of us talks and the other finishes the thought.
But don't you agree that that's how they do it? Thank you, Ann.
Yes, I do.
They do it because, and they only do it when we're going to get something like we did last week.
A clipper shift.
When we get one of the snowstorms that they're not sure about. Normally, if you look at the weather on Channel 4, they're not going to talk about the Shenandoah Valley. But when there's a snowstorm. Oh,
yes.
Came by the door.
Our western suburbs. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well, thanks.
Hey, wanted to let that jackhole know who called in earlier from Winchester that TV3 is not a college station. They're an ABC affiliate, and they're actually going to broadcast Cable Channel 3 tonight at 7 o'clock. They're going on the air, so.
Wait a minute, hold on a second.
Wow.
You just sort of made a point, and then you didn't make a point. You were saying,
it's
an ABC affiliate, and then you said they don't go on the air until 7 o'clock tonight.
Well, they're just launching the station. We're going on the air. I work for them, actually. We're going.
You work for the TV station?
I thought so, yeah. I do.
So it's just tonight they're getting a TV station in Winchester, Virginia.
As of tonight, we are getting...
Well, you're not doing any good by calling one of your viewers a jackhole.
Well, he is a jackhole. I don't...
And I like jackhole. I like jackhole a lot.
But you work for ABC?
I work for WHSV out here in Winchester.
Thank you for calling, Mr. Belushi.
Are you an on camera? Are you going to be an on camera person?
Oh, I get jokes.
No, I'm more behind the scenes. I'm behind the cameras. I do computer graphics, audio board, all that kind of fun stuff.
And do you do it all yourself?
No, but we have a very competent team that takes care of everything. So
you sign on tonight at 7 o'clock.
For the very first time, well, yes.
Only on
cable.
What will be the first? Oh, you can't get it on over the air.
No. Well, you can get it if you have a digital receiver.
How long have you been working there, Mr. Todd?
Jerry Todd.
I've been working here since early January.
Who's the biggest piece of ass you have at that station on camera? Who's the biggest piece of... Who's the Shannon Breen of your station? Who's the Tracy Neal?
Ass, I'd say it'd be a toss-up. We have two of our reporters. One is Jenny Brockwell.
Ooh, yeah. Jenny Brockwell. That sounds like a nice, sexy name.
She's a whore, right?
she's an absolute hottie.
I heard she slept her way all the way to Winchester, Virginia. She slurped her way all the way to Market number 168.
Who's the other hottie?
There's a girl named Wendy. I don't remember her last name.
Oh, right.
She can't be a real hottie then.
Wendy was is permanently bent over a Betamax machine.
We know where she keeps her apple blossoms.
Waiting for her next assignment.
I know. I happen to know Wendy's last name.
What?
Hot as balls.
Wendy H. Balls.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Channel 25 out of Hagerstown and Channel 3 out of Harrisonburg. Hey. They're opening a local affiliate, and they both. I mean, you think Steve Villachez is bad?
Villanueva.
These guys are horrible.
Yes, of course they're horrible. You deserve to have bad weather guys in small markets.
Didn't we work with a Villanueva one time? Didn't we work with a Linda Villanueva?
You worked at Weva.
No, Linda Villanueva, Mike is right.
Right? Receptionist at WAVA back in the day?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Kind of not too bad, not easy on the eye.
Didn't Jim Elliot knock her up?
No.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I don't think so.
Let's say no.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Oh, I'm thinking of someone else.
Maybe.
Hello. Doesn't those voices, you know, when you go like this, doesn't that sound like Billy Crystal and Christopher Guest back in Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, thanks. He said it is chilly and it is windy.
You know, if anything, he's got like a Bruno Kirby quality
yeah.
to his that
and,
whole...
and a little weasel, too. He's got a little weasel
yes.
there.
Yes.
So it's kind of constricted.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
So I got this theory anyway, and I want to know what you guys think about it.
Okay.
I feel like there's really only one guy in the area anyway that actually does the work, and everybody else is a slacker.
Who's that? Who's that?
No, nobody in particular. Just in general, there's probably one guy.
Oh, it's a
everybody
theory.
Else is copies.
What is the theory? I don't get it. What's
are
he talking
about?
About
weather guys?
Absolutely.
What is your... I don't understand. Articulate your theory better. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so here's what I think. Everybody at everyone's job, there's always one guy who does all the work, and everybody else just takes credit for what they do.
Okay.
I feel that...
In this case, it would be Joe Ardinger. Yeah.
There's one guy in the Washington metro area who probably does the weather. Everyone else... watches his report.
Ah, that would be Howard Bernstein.
Copy.
Howard Bernstein is the Oz of weather. You're an idiot, my friend. I understand what he's saying, Mike.
So there's like one guy that orchestrates all the forecasts and the other guys are just talking heads?
Just copy him.
Absolutely.
That might be true. That might be one. I mean, in a lot of these places, certainly on the network level, you got a lot of guys that are not meteorologists, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they have guys behind the scenes that do the work and they present the forecast.
I'm sure you've worked at a radio station. Hell, Buzz, we work in Chicago. Our station was too cheap. For traffic.
Right.
So our AM station, the news station, had a helicopter.
Right.
And we would have an intern that would actually sit in the other room and listen to WBBM news radio and would write down all the stuff and bring it in. And the chick on our show then would say, oh, hey, good morning. Here's the latest traffic.
And she was specifically a traffic reporter?
No, she was like a jack of all trades.
Okay, all right. But you'd pirate it off the other station.
Of course. Right. And
with their permission, too, right?
Right.
Oh. Well, sister station. I mean, they're both in the same building.
Right. Yeah, kind of with their permission.
Kind of. Yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of with
they
their
probably,
permission.
It was probably, well, you know, they ever paid attention to it, but they were the AM guys and they never did.
Right. I worked at a lot of stations where you would do that all the time, or you would just, even with news, sometimes you would just, you would turn on, there would be another station on the other room, like the news station. You were playing the station with records like, oh, wow. Oh, wow, Jimmy Carter's in trouble, dude. I better go talk about that on the radio. You would just hear stuff and pick it up and steal stuff and steal the traffic stuff. Absolutely.
You've been in this business long enough to remember that really a news story would be preceded by some bells on an AP machine.
Oh, yeah.
You'd actually hear it. Ding, 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 ding. And you'd go over and look. And Mel's was a balloon. And one of the biggest thrills when I started out in radio was calling the AccuWeather meteorologist and really having a chat with him before he'd record over the phone his little weather forecast. I said, so I would always ask, did you ever, I'm sure you did this, did you ever ask specifically what it was going to do where you lived when
of
you were
course.
Recording the guy?
Yeah.
Little fringe benefit from the job.
Sure.
Hey, Joe Bastardi, you want to tell me exactly what it's going to do?
Oh, Joe Bastard, the guy from AccuWeather.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Joe Bastardi did it for years. I mean, called about a million radio stations.
And how many times did you ever do this, too? Back in the day, when you had a new record at a radio station, you didn't want the other stations to be like they would really tape it off your airwaves?
Right. It's been done.
You start a record, and like at four or five spots during the record, you'd have an announcer go,
Q100 exclusive.
Even while the record was playing.
Yes.
Because the thought was, same thing like listening to other stations
right.
to steal the traffic and the news, if you didn't have a copy of the record, you'd tape it off the radio
yeah, sure.
and play it on your own station.
You'd call it exclusive and then you'd own it.
So then like this thing would be going, and you'd be in your car listening to it, going, yeah. You'd hear,
Q100 exclusive.
The trick.
Maddening.
It's really, it's carnival work,
oh, yeah.
you know, with microphones.
Maddening.
What it is.
Maddening.
Just like the weather with Steve Villanueva.
But it is chilly, and it is windy.
Hey, welcome to the Emerald Forest.
Got a break. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Big stuff. Hey, are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Not a very enthusiastic reaction. I think I'll just sweeten that over here on the audio board. Let's try it now. Having a good time? That's a lot better. You know, we overlook sometimes what good audio can do to embellish video. With that in mind, it's time for our satellite report. And let's go live now over the international dateline all the way to tomorrow. And my good buddy, Tim Ishimuni.
The Don and Mike Show. I was going to have a few comments on the other Democratic presidential candidate, John Edwards. But it turns out that you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. So... kind of at an impasse, can't really talk about Edwards, so I think I'll just conclude here and take your questions.
Even better than a porno book, The Don and Mike Show.
He's a fag.
And then she showed everybody her thing.
Penis.
Yeah. Thank you, Don.
Well, I didn't want you to think of her vagine.
Vagine.
Her pee-pee.
Saying that about John Edwards. Take a look at this.
Or wiener. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, is this Joe?
Oh, God.
How are you doing, Joe? Hey, Joe.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike? I just wanted to let you know that Sacramento's favorite team player got arrested today.
Sacramento's favorite team player. Let's
now, do you mean a player that was popular on the team, a guy that helped his teammates out, that otherwise known as a team player, or what?
Probably.
Is he a current?
Yeah,
is
not,
he?
No need to pay attention to that question.
Is he a current?
Ron Artest.
What did Ron Artest of the Sacramento Kings get arrested for?
He got arrested for domestic violence, beating up a woman.
Well, I know Rob.
That's Rob Spiewak in the background there.
Don't bother Rob. I know she's probably asking for it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I was applauding the police.
Hey, Don.
He was applauding the police.
Otherwise, so the charges were giving her what fur?
Uh-huh. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Don.
And Mike, we're both here.
I'm calling from St. Mary's, and I'm wondering, are we good enough to be on D.C.'s weather?
St. Mary's County.
No, really, you should be covered by Baltimore, I believe.
I don't like Baltimore. I trust D.C. better. In Baltimore, we only get one channel from Baltimore.
All right. You mean over the air?
Yeah. On the TV, we only get
channels. So you receive the Washington stations better?
Yes. We get all channels from Washington.
Why don't you throw out some towns in St. Mary's County?
Do what?
The discussion that we were having is, shall the station, for instance, in D.C., how far out do you go giving the weather forecast for the suburbs until it's freaking ridiculous? Mike wants to know specifically, throw out some towns.
Some towns. That's more helpful.
Not just a county. Give us a town.
Lexington Park.
Lexington Park.
I think that's more D.C. than Baltimore.
Still, yeah. I would say it's on the fringe. Find your own weather. Give me another town.
Mechanicsville.
Mechanicsville, Maryland, that would be, I'm sorry, this is Baltimore's problem. And again, this is just,
it's just you.
Totally subjective.
That's right.
Totally subjective.
All
so,
right.
Whatever you do, if you're giving weather here in Washington, D.C., do not reveal a forecast and involve St. Mary's County. Any of it.
Thank you, Mike.
Lexington Park.
Why the Shenandoah Valley?
Down in Mechanicsville, you're going to be all rain.
But it is chilly, and it is windy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
And Mike, howdy.
Ray Deities. Hey, I'm calling from Sacramento. Haven't just heard a spot in which, Don, you say, well, I'm just going to say that you use the phrase, what not.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call the Don and Mike Show.
I have to tell you, sir, lobotomize yourself.
Got it.
Thank you.
Bye!
Really spontaneous there. That just kind of crept out.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Got it.
I guess I'm getting hung up to call Sacramento about your whatnot.
Oh, here they come.
Yeah,
here they come.
Right. Here we come.
Will you retards? Listen, seriously retards. First off, gosh, where do I begin? You know, Mike and I are on a campaign against the word whatnot. However, I did mention it in a commercial for Sacramento.
In a joking fashion. Yeah. Anybody that knows this show and understands this show would know that he was joking for the very reason that we crusade against whatnot is the reason he used that in the commercial in a very broad and dumbed down way. Don't you get it?
But obviously I didn't dumb it down enough, Mike, because this dummy...
Obviously not.
Let me explain what this dummy and the other...
I figured you were just getting paid to do it.
Hey, shut up for a second, ass.
Okay.
What this guy and the other guy are too stupid to figure out is that because we rail against the word whatnot, and I got news for you, even that's a joke, dumbass. But because
that's a good way of processing it, too, is that you got paid to do it.
Yeah.
It was there in the copy, but that, you said, well, they're paying me good money for this, so I'll say it anyway.
Sell out. But even if that was the I mean, it's ridiculous. You're calling up, like, the reason you were calling was to say, hey, Don, you rail against the word whatnot, yet you yourself use the word in a commercial. Is that... or is that not the premise of this call?
That you got it.
You're a dumbass.
Yes, see, Sacramentites.
Right, I am.
Sacramentites.
No, you are so friggin' stupid.
They're delighted to expose hypocrisy, even though they wouldn't be able to define the word.
Listen, granted, it's not the funniest joke in the world. It's not even really a joke. It's more of just a subliminal, hey, it's a little inside joke between you and me. Seriously, dumbass. My gosh. And you had to call with that bulletin?
I guess I shouldn't have. Wait 24 hours and don't call, right?
Well, you know this, but you did anyway.
So let's walk through this.
Can I do this? Can I just ask him this question?
Sure, sure.
Really? Really? And this is like in the movie that Tom Hanks, the baseball movie, A League of Their Own.
League of Their Own.
When he's talking about the girl that does not hit the cutoff person and his hands are shaking. That's what my hands are doing right now, right around the microphone. Sir, I'm asking you, really, tell me, please, what went through your mind when you heard that whatnot? Do you say, hey, he uses that in a commercial. I can't believe that. And you just wanted to call? Is that really how you processed it? Tell me. I want to know.
I think he hit it right on the head.
He is that stupid.
Here. You know that.
My God.
No, really, you're really
astonished at that.
You really are stupid.
Yeah, we are.
There's no funny way.
No, not we. You. Not
there's
we. No,
yes, I am.
There's no funny way for us to wrap this up in a bow and make it nice and palatable for everybody.
Jesus Christ. I just find it amazing.
Mike,
I truly do.
Has to dance.
Mike, I'm going to have to. Really? You know what? I got to join you.
Yes. Don is not joining.
I got to join you. I got to join you. And hold on. You see that?
I blacked
it. I'll do it one. I'll do you one better.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
He's unzipping.
Actually.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Wow.
You have trumped me on this today.
The microphone.
Rob.
Is rubbing
against. I've never watched. Join us.
The microphone.
Please.
You hear that?
The microphone is in Don's pants, sir.
Skin on microphone.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Sacramento Dance.
Yeah!
Oh, God. Fantastic.
There you go.
Rob is now, in a chimp-like fashion,
flinging something.
Pretending he's flinging his own issue. There we are.
Ball cheese on microphone.
Wonderful.
Gosh.
There, that's the way you wrap that up.
We're all doing the Sacramento dance now.
Dancing with the tart.
Woo!
Portamento.
One of our best markets.
We are popular out there. Oh, wow. All that dancing.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hi there.
Hey, I'm wondering if Vegas is too far out for your weather. Can I have to eat my own?
Yes.
I chuckle.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hey. Hi there, radio up too loud. Hello.
Sir, are you there?
Let's play the game on caller ID, Mike. Guess the area code.
I'm going to guess that it's somewhere in the northern part of California.
He just hung up. It was 916.
Yes.
Those are the magic numbers.
Don, we're not all. When are we going to get that one? Don, we're not all like those guys.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
Don, what's up, man? Hey, look, that hoe from Lexington Park. I know she's from there, man, because, like, she sounds just like my...
Oh, well,
you can't use the F-bomb.
Can't do that,
I'm
sir.
Sorry. I'm done, right? I'm sorry.
Okay, we're talking about his ex-wife.
And we do need your weather down here, bro.
Okay, bro.
See you later, bro. Hey, bye.
What are your names? Whitney.
Jitney.
Dubya.
Incest.
Crystal Meth. International Harvester. Birthday.
That's fantastic.
The guy dropped the F-bomb while he was speaking of his ex-wife.
Come on, bro.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
You have foot fungus on your microphone. It's on your penis.
Set the phone, my finger, guy.
It's on your woman's vagina.
It's the Mike finger guy? No, this is not your finger guy.
No, this is Mike finger guy. No, you have it on your vagina.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you got me there.
He's got his own code. And incidentally, can we please pronounce things correctly on the show? It's vagine.
It comes out on video tomorrow.
Vagine.
The movie is Borat. Hello, Don and Mike.
Complete with some unedited sequences.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm ready for disappointment. How about you, Mike?
I'm prepared like I've never been prepared before.
Take another call. Another disappointing call.
It's you. Go ahead.
Disappoint us.
Talking about the whatnot word.
The whatnot word.
Yes.
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 Whatever.
I've taken up your crusade, and right. I hate that word.
That's very and, nice.
There's somebody who uses it that was just really disappointed. Kevin Smith uses it all the time, and it's just so disappointing.
Really? Well, now, Kevin, see, that's a relevant discussion about the word whatnot.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
It's a serious call on a serious subject.
We should be concerned.
Kevin Smith uses it.
Uh-huh. Does he? No. Really? Shogma and whatnot.
It's horrible.
Jay and Silent Bob and whatnot.
No wonder he's silent in his movies.
Clerks and whatnot.
Oh, Clerks, I forgot about that.
Got a break. Be right back. Whatnot.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Is a lesbian. What is anything? Like, what's a unicorn? It's a horse with a horn on its head that's magic. You know, a lesbian is just a woman with a horn on her head that's magic.
The Don and Mike Show.
He's lying.
That was a she. That wasn't a he, that was a she.
That was a she?
Yeah, that was what's her name? That was Jimmy Kimmel's girlfriend.
Ann Coulter?
No, what's her name? Sarah Silverman.
Sarah may not be suitable for sensitive viewers. If you are such a viewer, now might be the time to go make yourself a nice BM.
There she is.
Sarah Silverman scares me.
Mike, it's a one-way trip to Fist City. The Don and Mike Show.
I think she'd be hot as balls.
Uh-huh. I think she'd be hot as balls. I think she is hot as balls. She'd make love to you, and then she'd kill you. And she'd have the same expression on her face the entire time.
Kind of turned me on.
Yeah.
I'd be all right with that.
Sure. I'd like having her do a Black Widow thing on you. Like the last year. You'd be all simultaneously.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I like Sarah Silverman. Mm-hmm. Except she has kind of a unibrow.
Oh, yeah.
But she's very sexy because she's not only a talented comedian, but an angry talented comedian.
And how do I say this? Just looking at her, she's good with her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
Well, she does it all.
You could ask for that 24/7.
Yeah, and I think she'd be more than willing to do just about anything.
Wow. Jimmy Kimmel with his big robe, just walking around his house going, hey!
Yo! Sarah!
I think she's very hot, but I think she just missed it, because if you see her new show on Comedy Central, mm-hmm. her real-life sister's in it, and she missed that train.
Really?
Yeah.
Like hot?
Like she's not hot.
Like oh, the sister's not hot.
No.
Okay.
All the luck happened on... It rained on Sarah.
Didn't run on the family.
No.
Sarah Silverman. I think down there would also be the way you like it.
Oh, you mean like a nice little triangle?
Yeah. Yeah, and what do? You triangulate the shot?
That's the other way. I disagree. I think it would be like a Brillo pad. It would be an absolute.
You think it would be just a terrible mess?
Wild and free.
It would be like going.
It would be like one of those novelty wigs.
Like going on a trip in the Congo.
You really do?
Yeah.
I don't think Jimmy tolerate that. Jimmy's done the man show. Jimmy knows what he likes. Jimmy likes a little.
I don't think Jimmy Kimmel is looking for clean hygiene.
You don't think Jimmy Kimmel, do you think Jimmy Kimmel wears the pants in that relationship?
No. Oh,
I think she decides where they're going to go.
My God, even though he's got an every night talk show, she's a bigger star than he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's Sarah Silverman.
Well, it's either your way, the way you like it, or the way you know, the novelty store way. There is no way that that is tidy.
It could be Jean Benet.
I doubt it. I really doubt it. Yeah. I just don't think she takes the
doesn't
time.
Doesn't seem like her.
That doesn't seem like her kind of
she
move.
Might be Don Johnson-y. You know, I mean, she might have, like, that Kurt Warner type of, like, you know, Kurt Warner is one of those guys that seriously must have to shave, like, 8 times a day.
Right, right.
Have you seen that guy, like, before a game?
Like Cameron Gray.
Yes. They'll interview right. Kurt Warner before a game, uh-huh. And 3 hours later, he's got a full beard, and the beard grew while he was playing football.
Looks like Dan Haggerty after the game.
I think she probably has that situation, so she doesn't deal with that.
I see
easier to neglect.
I seen her on a talk show,
yes.
And she has waxed, but I can't remember to
oh,
what
she
extent.
Has?
Because I remember her talking about waxing.
Don and Mike show, hello.
Her back.
Hey, guys. This is Steve from Sacramento.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, on the news out here in Sacramento is that Ron Artest got arrested today for domestic violence.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then... don't call.
Don't call.
The Don and Mike Show.
I gotta say...
you fool! You complete utter ass! Or I could slap your face raw. Moron, I could die.
Sacramento, you are really living up to it today.
What is this junk? Where's the zazz?
Agreed. Agreed.
No,
Kelly Clarkson!
Stepping up to it today. I mean, living up to your reputation as our favorite affiliate city.
I can only hope it was one of our listeners you beat the crap out of. Ron Artest.
Well, he said it was domestic, so unless one of our listeners happened to be the lady he lives with.
I hope that he threw her into a pile of dog crap from his Rottweilers that went crazy a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I forgot. He's the same guy that's got the Rottweilers, the emaciated Rottweilers in the mansion, right?
Yeah.
And he's a special guy.
And then I hope after that, I hope this woman who listens to our show, who got beat up by Ron Artest today, and with dog poop, I hope then her kids went out and smoked weed.
Just like that other tape we played.
Her 2-year-old and 5-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Went out and smoked weed with Ron Artest.
Wow. Wow.
Folks, seriously, especially if you're listening to us in Sacramento, California.
Especially.
Seriously. Serious as a heart attack. I swear to God, I don't care if it's like the movie Independence Day. If you see a big ass spaceship over your city,
right?
Do not call us.
Because your odds really are overwhelming that somebody is going to alert us first, and you're going to call and slow down the show by repeating it.
We have already gotten the Ron Artest breaking news.
We've got amazing sources on this show, old sport. There's really no need to call in. There's really no need to call in.
Oh, God. You're bringing it. You know what you made me do today, Sacramento? You made me dance. You made me do the dance with Mike.
True. And you did it. You took it to a whole nother level.
That guy pissed me off. Mm-hmm. That guy pissed me off. Just wait. The next thing we're going to get the Maloof brothers on the phone. We'll get those midgets to move that basketball team to Las Vegas, and then what will you have?
Yeah, we'll talk to them when they're at the Palms Casino, when they're all Vegas-y, when they're not back home Sacramento-y, you know?
Oh, and listen, not really, this isn't a dump on Sacramento.
They're going to move them. They're going to move them anyway.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, now, Mike, come on.
Well, they are. There's nothing we can do about it. They're going to take the team to the city that's, you know, and all that gambling that they worry about. You know, c'est la vie. They'll be able to deal with that. Much better chance for that team to draw some star power if they move them from Sacramento to Las Vegas.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, light up those lines. Yeah, here they come. Come on. Bring it on.
You're right.
Bring it on today.
And I know what the deal is. We went by the stadium out there in Sacramento, the arena, Arco Arena.
Uh-huh.
Why wouldn't you build a new stadium for the team? It's the only thing you got.
Yeah, it's woefully inadequate, the one they have
it's
now.
It's the only sports franchise you have. And if you're those two dudes, those two midget brothers that own, those two midget twins that own the team, right now you're like the scales of justice going, Sacramento, where they won't give us a new stadium, or Las Vegas. Sacramento, Las Vegas.
Why wouldn't I build a brand new Las Vegas basketball palace where I could just walk to one of my hotels? Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the option.
So listen, you keep screwing up our show, and the Kings will leave Sacramento.
That's right.
That is the message for you today.
They've already got one foot out the door today, based on your behavior today.
And
it's a promise.
And never mind. I was going to say something else, but I thought better of it. I'm going to just change the topic.
Good
here.
For you. Sacramento won't have any sports franchise at that point if they leave. If they leave Sacramento, right? The Kings are it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's it. That's all that. Besides us, that's all they got out there.
Boy, oh boy. Good luck.
They have what?
They have cabbage.
They have cabbage. Okay. The NASCAR race. Yeah. Did anybody see the Busch Series race yesterday
in Mexico?
Yeah. Really great. A great screaming. Fight with these two guys who were on the same team. The Mexican guy won the race yesterday. This guy Montoya, the guy they've made a big deal about him, he drives the Texaco car.
Juan Pablo Montoya.
That's him, Mike. So he's on a team with the guy in the Juicy Fruit car, meaning that the cars are owned by the same guy.
Okay.
And the one rule that they give these guys before they go out to run a race is, whatever you're doing, don't get in a wreck with the guy on your team.
Right.
Whatever you do, don't get in a wreck with the guy on your team.
Because then you're really SOL.
Right. Well, the guy in the Juicy Fruit car, who's the teammate of the guy in the, what, the 42 car, they're going around a turn. It's a road. It's one of those road tracks. I mean, I know all the tracks are road, but it's not a big speedway. It's one of those that's got 8,000 turns, and it's windy, and they can't go quite as fast. It's a road course.
Road course.
So they're going around one of these turns, and this guy Montoya, just as they say, gets into the Juicy Fruit car.
Did he get loose?
No, he on purpose tapped the guy and pushed the guy out of the way.
Wow.
And it was great after the race.
That'll gum things up.
You had.
I'm sorry.
The Juicy Fruit guy. We don't have tape of him, do we? No, the Juicy Fruit guy. Why am I? I'm not.
Mike.
I shouldn't even yell at you about that anymore.
I think he yelled at
me. Hey, John. Hey, John.
Johnny Norman.
God.
The shine's off. Is that what I'm here for?
Scott Pruitt?
Yeah, it is.
Boy, that was a big one there.
Yeah.
The shine's off.
Hold on. We got it. We got the tape of the guy. You got the guy in the Juicy Fruit car?
If it's Scott Pruitt.
Yeah, he's very upset. Very upset at this guy. Funny. Funny how mad he gets. He's that white guy. Listen, that's not how you do it. And I hope it's the thing.
Montoya got into the back of Pruitt. I'm reading the article.
Reworks
right here.
The Juicy Fruit the sponsor name in. Here we go.
Of all the people to take you out, your teammate. I mean, that was just no good, low, nasty, dirty driving. I can't even put it into words. It's just so disappointing. We talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it in meetings. He's faster than me. You know, we'll work it out. He can go, you know, but not take each other out. That's just bad driving.
Oh.
We don't have the cut from before where he said, like, maybe 10 times in 20 seconds, Juicy Fruit.
Sure.
Wow. Because that's the number one rule they give those guys. If you're going to get on TV, say your sponsor's name over and over.
So they're the same team, Montoya and that guy?
Same team, and they showed...
With less than 10 laps left.
Ooh! 8 laps left, and they showed the owner. The guy's got to be in hog heaven. His cars are running 1 and 2.
Yeah.
They show when the one guy knocks the other guy out of the race, or knocks him back to fifth, they show the owner up there going, son of a bitch. And meanwhile, in the stadium, all of the Mexicans are going crazy because their guy's winning.
So what he's saying is basically he could have moved out of the way. He would have moved out of the way and let Montoya, you know, get there if he had the faster car. There was no need for Montoya to tap him and push him out of the way.
But here is why I am kind of just intoxicated by this guy. From what I've been reading, they're saying that he is like the Mexican Tony Stewart.
Oh, okay.
That he does not care what they tell him to do, that he will push a car, he will rub against a car, he does not
care.
Isn't
it racing, really? You know, don't you think NASCAR, if there's one thing that has slowed it down for me, is when you hear them talk about they're helping each other out, and they're, you know, shouldn't it be a bunch of guys? You're in a car, you're trying to win the race, you're doing whatever you can. And if you're in front of a guy and you think he's got the faster car, you're trying to block him.
It felt really bad because we both needed a really good finish. And I went into the break in and we were both breaking about the same point, but he was slowing down the car a lot more. And he kind of stayed wide, so I went for the inside. And when I was there, he just turned and I had nowhere to go. I feel really sorry about him, but, you know.
We're talking about
sex. Oh, stop it.
That man is lying.
Anyway, a great end of that race yesterday. And for those of you that were flipping around like me, wondering what the hell was going on, what kind of a backwards world do we live in? That's right. On ESPN, they had it ESPN Desportes, meaning on ESPN, they were speaking Spanish.
See.
While on ESPN2, they were speaking English.
So on the first one, when he crossed the finish line, did the guy go, "Goal!"
It's the old thing. I just want to say, you know, over and over again, it was like, you know, English on ESPN1, Spanish on ESPN2. Thank you.
Lechuga, tomate.
Thank you.
Mayonesa. Thank you. Cebuega.
We got a break here for the president from 24. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Radio God.
Howdy.
Hey, these two guys racing were actually teammates that won the Rolex 24 in Daytona.
Oh, this is it. Where are you calling from?
Where
are you calling from?
I'm calling from Hollywood, Maryland.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call the Don and Mike Show.
Now you got to move to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. We just had that. We said they were teammates.
Right. That was the whole point, that they were teammates. Now you got to move to Sacramento.
Where we started with that.
And wait for the Kings to move to Las Vegas.
Book your flight.
Okay, we'll come right back with President Logan from 24.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't make the wrong play, Jack. If you go down official channels, you'll end up in a hopeless maze. Markov has friends in the highest levels of the Russian government. They can protect him indefinitely. If you want to access what he knows right now, you need to go through back channels. What back channels? Me. I'm your best chance to get the information you need in the time frame you need it.
What are you proposing?
That I speak to Markov, myself, in person.
Why would Markov talk to you?
Because I have leverage. Markov was involved in the conspiracy that put me where I am today. I didn't give him up. But he knows I still can.
Yeah. I don't trust you.
If you want to find Krudenko, maybe it's time you started.
Experts at doing the toilet facility, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. Oh no.
Oh no.
Now that we've officially changed producers, I don't even know who to blame for the fact that they're both just looking at the phone right now. Like a girl who's waiting for her high school boyfriend to call going, please, ring, ring.
You mean Gregory Itzen hasn't called yet?
Oh, he has. And he said he would call back in 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's pretty encouraging, though.
Okay, so it's the president from 24.
Uh-huh. And really, the president who I think makes that show. Really do. I mean, I think he's fantastic. I was looking forward to telling him that.
There he is right now. Good. Okay, good.
The phone.
That's why we switch producers.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Although some habits die hard. Rob had his little notepad out and just right as, you know, why tell me before we go on the air,
right
as we are turning the microphones on, he holds up a little post-it note, waiting on him to call.
Ah, very good.
You got him, Robbie?
He hung up. Phone disconnected.
Jesus Christ.
Who booked him?
I got a suggestion. I think it's going to be necessary to maybe have them wait a little bit. You know what I mean? Like maybe 30 seconds. Here he is, the phone again.
All right. Gotcha. Okay, here he is now from the show 24. Yeah. Thanks to our half-assed staff. Here is Gregory Itzen. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, gentlemen. How are you?
What a pleasure.
Great to have you on the show.
We should tell you that we are enormous fans. We watch every episode, and when we saw your pretty face come on camera, it was delightful to know that you're back in the storyline. It's fantastic.
And lovely he is, isn't he, with the beard and everything else?
The beard, it's a new look. It really is.
But before we get into your whole 24 thing, I bet you have got a huge a resume. But didn't I see you on one of the Star Trek shows? Were you either on Deep Space Nine or Enterprise?
Both.
I'm one of those
multi-Star Trek guys. I've done actually 5 different parts on various Star Trek.
I thought so. Last year when I saw you for the first time, I said to somebody, I know that guy.
I was looking, Gregory, over your resume, and I mean, you're the definition of the working actor. I mean, you have been on so many different shows, and I look at that, and I mean, this is how you make your living. I would imagine it's just a fascinating way to not be to do an episode here, an episode there, but you're always working. That's got to, does that drive you nuts at all?
I'm touching wood on the phrase always right now. I'm tapping wood. It's great fun, and it's also a scary proposition to be a working actor, because like you say, you move from job to job, but there's no guarantees, et cetera. So this last little stint, if you want to call it little, as President Charlie Logan, was a big gift and also a chance to do the kind of work that you don't get to do very much on TV.
That's if true. I could ask you about the character President Logan and what you bring to it. Last year, I thought there was so much Nixon there, mm-hmm. that it was crazy with the air conditioning and the fireplace on and the sweat on the lip. How much of last year did you even loosely base your character on Nixon, or was there any Nixon in there?
The Nixon connection is, like an accident of genetics more than anything else. I mean, I have a feeling when they hired me that was somewhere in their minds. I had worked for a couple of the producers before, so they knew my work. But I realized that there is, that receding hairline and the bad posture. And the insecurity, but the insecurity, it's the character I play in any parallels that are drawn. Or because that's the one president we all know was that kind of guy.
He was indeed.
Yeah.
When you get called back, I'm very curious as the process. With a show like 24, I realize that the plot lines and what's going to happen because of its popularity are very closely guarded secrets.
Yeah.
You, when did you know that you were going to be coming back and that they were going to have a storyline featuring you again this year?
Well, we talked about it in the break between the show. I mean, these guys are amazing. The way they do their work is, before we're even done shooting the end of the season, they are already plotting out the next season because it's such a hard job. So we already had talks. I mean, obviously, he couldn't come back as the president. He'd done too much and been too shamed, and it was obvious he was the loser last season.
Right.
But we did know that he was a big fan favorite, plus he's just a good character to have around. So we knew we wanted to get him back. So we started throwing around a couple of ideas. Part of what you see is some stuff that I pitched them. I thought that perhaps after he had been put under house arrest, he'd started to search him, his soul, try to redeem himself, which is now a plot line in the thing.
Right.
And they chose to make him a born again. And
I don't trust you in that regard, sir. I don't trust you. I would pull that earring out of your earlobe.
Good. You hold that thought, because it's good that you don't trust me. That's a good thing.
And it's not a secret that Gene Smart is coming back, right?
No, it is not a secret that the lovely Martha and I get to dance together once more.
Oh, and you guys are so good together. Really. I mean, it's so much fun to have somebody on the show where we're all fans and we all love watching it, really.
Thank you.
With the body of work, and Mike, I just got the resume, too. And I'm sorry,
yeah, did you see on the very bottom, right towards the end of the resume?
Well, I see Mork and Mindy is one of the first things.
Did you see Jake and the Fat Man?
Oh, please, yes.
Oh, my God, you've been on everything. You've been on Friends.
Yeah.
You were on all the Star Trek shows that I mentioned, West Wing,
yeah.
Party of Five, everything. With all the stuff you've done in your body of work, and obviously, as I said, when I saw you last year, I recognized you from Star Trek, but it was one of those things where I was like, who is that guy? I know him.
Yeah.
Now being on 24, how great is it after your entire career? And excuse me if this is like a backhanded compliment.
It's okay.
I would think this is probably the most notoriety. I guess you'd walk down the street now and people would go, hey, dude.
Absolutely.
You
Mr.
are the
president.
You are the president from 24.
They say, hello, Mr. President.
How great is it?
It's great. It's fantastic on many levels, on that level, on the recognition level, but also, I don't want to say late career, but, I'm in my 50s, and I've been, like you say, a journeyman actor, putting my time in, and I'm really good shows, and I've done nice work, and I've done a lot of stage work, too, got nominated for a Tony, and this and that and the next thing, so it's not like I haven't been around, but you're right, being on a show like 24 with the visibility and the fanaticism of the fans.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah.
When you say journeyman actor, it fascinates me because I look at this resume and I say it must require an awful lot of courage to hang in there, because you do go through periods of time when the phone isn't ringing, and then you go through a period of time where you've got a tremendous amount of work. How do you handle all that? And you know, when you're doing this is your job. This is how you make your living. How do you handle that psychologically?
It's a tough row. I mean, it really is. There's a lot of insecurity involved in it. So there are times when you're anxious, and there's times when you're absolutely confident when things are going your way. And then there's the gaps where you go, like, I love reading stories. Henry Fonda, till the day he died, thought that every job was his last job.
Right.
I mean, insecurity is sort of one of the cornerstones of the actor's life. There must be something about it that attracts, you know, all of us idiots. it's like, to me, it's like the people who do X Games. Why the hell would anybody put themselves or go through that fear level or whatever? I can say the same thing about actors. I think there is something about the profession and the lack of stability that draws, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I'll tell you, being one of those fanatics you mentioned about the show, I was almost ready to jump off this year because it was like,
I think a lot of people, where this has been written about. I mean, it really
was like, okay, I've seen it. I've been a fan all 5 years. I'm not blowing smoke. As soon as they brought you back, we came in the next day and said, oh, my God, he's back and he's got a beard.
Gregory, really, and it's not because you're a guest on the show today. I think it's really important for you to get this kind of feedback that when you came on screen, I know that the real fans of that show, collectively across the country, everyone, yeah, because, I mean, it's just it's the energy that you generated last year in that role. I mean, everybody, I guess, looks for a role like this, but it really worked for you.
And you have a lot of different speeds as an actor. Kiefer Sutherland pretty much has two speeds, either screaming or whispering. You got a lot of talent. You're really exceptionally talented. I had you so built up in my mind as this Nixon lookalike.
And I really hope something bad happens to you this year.
You're not alone. There's a lot of that. Everybody's glad to see me back, and at the same time wishes me not well.
And the other thing that I'm sure you're tired of hearing about, so great about 24, when you first came on at the end of the episode a couple of weeks ago, I said that to my girlfriend, and she said, hold on a second. How can they bring him back? Isn't he dead? And it's one of those things where you forget what happened at the end of last year.
You do. You really do.
And it's so great that they tied it all up last week. It's like, oh, yes, President Logan's in house arrest because he had President Palmer killed. And you got the big thing around your wrist, the big beep, beep thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, do you get a lot of people talking to you like this, like retards, like I am, because they love the show so much?
No, it's, you know, it's not only is it flattering, because it is, but it also keeps me, when you do a job like that, I don't know, I mean, when you do a job as an actor, you make fast friends, and then you work for a short period of time, and then it's over.
It's done.
It's done. So, and, you know, this was a longer job than usual. I had an amazing time. I don't want to say all the superlatives, but it's absolutely true. The cast was a joy. I get to work with Gene Smart and Jude Ciccolella and Kiefer, obviously, and the people I got to work with were top drawer. The crew's great. And then all of a sudden, so you're in a family. It's a family relationship. And all of a sudden, the train pulls into the station, and you get off, and you stand on the platform, and the train pulls out, and everybody waves at you. And so to get this kind of feedback for work that I'm, you know, have done, it keeps me feeling good about the whole thing and keeps it fresh for me. So
well, feel good about the fact that I think even after 24, there's definitely going to be life for you after 24.
Cause
people are going to want, but I don't know whether this is bad news or good news. I think you got to be a bad guy again. I really do. Trust me.
It's the joy and the dilemma.
The joy and the dilemma.
Just one more thing I've always wanted to ask you, now that I'm looking at your resume.
Yeah.
What was it like being on Major Dad? Is Gerald McCraney really all that?
You know, it's odd because I ran into Mr. McCraney not too long ago at one of these events, and he was very...
Jealous?
Who knows what he really was, but surface of things, very gracious, very nice, and we both, you know, shared a couple of moments because
we know
who each other are. And also, I'll tell you the truth, short story, my dad was a career Marine, and he was a major when he retired.
Really?
So part of the hoot of going on that show was getting a cap and sending a Major Dad cap and sending it home to my father.
You seem very down-to-earth, very nice guy. You should just know we're huge fans of 24, your greatest President Logan. I hope they don't kill you off. I hope they bring you back next year. I don't know how we could do it constitutionally, but it's 24.
Yeah, anything can happen on 24.
I want you to be the president again.
Yeah. I'd like that.
I mean, I want you to be the president of America again.
And be for real.
What is this? Robbie is just, are you in an upcoming movie with Lindsay Lohan?
Yes, I play a psychiatrist who deals with her after a traumatic situation.
Gregory, you're starting to believe the ship has come in, that you're getting lucky. That sounds like an awfully lucky role too.
It's a good role. It was an offer. Somebody just offered that one to me, so that was great.
But you're really an exceptional actor, and you're great as President Logan. Thanks for being on the show, and hope you like being slurped, because we like slurping.
Enjoy the show, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gregory.
Okay. Bye.
That's President Logan, Gregory Itzen from 24.
Cool.
And now we get to go home and watch him tonight, which is, that's very, how often does that happen?
We had him on the phone today.
That's fun.
He's on TV.
We're big fans. That's fun. That really is fun.
It's good. It's good.
I mean, amazing, though, when you look at this, because you go through this resume. Jesus, I mean, to be out there, how many times do you think he was just sitting there going, I can't do it anymore?
I really recognized him from Star Trek. I didn't realize that this thing...
On Boston Legal a lot.
As I look at this thing...
He's, I mean, you want to talk about a journeyman actor, but seriously, a working actor.
He's calling back. Let's see what he says.
Hello? Yes. Hi there.
He's calling back.
Wow. Or his people.
Would you like to come back on the air? They'd love to have you back for another
one. He forgot something.
Yeah, come on, hold on and come back on the air.
What do you want?
He wanted to mention something else.
Oh, all right.
Okay. We haven't gone to break yet. Absolutely, Gregory.
Something that I meant to say, but we got off on tangents and talking hither and yon. I'm actually, I mentioned my dad was a career Marine, and I was actually born in Washington, D.C., these many years ago, in a place I'm not even sure is there anymore, Sibley Memorial Hospital.
Sibley's still there.
Sibley, you bet. Of course it is.
Bottom on Nebraska Avenue. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I just wanted, before I left, I just wanted to say hey to all my people there in my original hometown.
Your homies, Gregory.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Okay, gentlemen, thanks once again.
I hope you can live down having been on Arliss.
I can handle it.
All right, good talking to you, Gregory.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's cool. I didn't know he was a D.C. guy.
Wow.
Very good. Bonus.
Good. Good job. That's 24, and we are obligated to say, duh, tonight on Fox. Check your local listings.
Almost got the taste of Sacramento out of my mouth.
We'll come right back with Fred Lee.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So we're from Planet Crespa.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like foul-mouthed bobblehead dolls.
Hi there.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And again, our website, the most popular website in the history of the intronet.
Oh, yeah.
Don and Mike website. .com. Let's see, tomorrow I think we'll get more into...
But it is chilly, and it is windy.
And we got sidetracked today with who should have a weather forecast and who shouldn't. We didn't really...
We haven't settled that.
...dice up Steve Villanueva.
We know.
The way that we want to.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that tomorrow. Let me see, we heard the tape of the toddlers smoking weed.
Right.
We've heard Ann Coulter, right? We heard that.
Faggot.
Okay. Let me see. Oh, we didn't hear. We didn't hear Hillary Clinton talking like a hick yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I could have listened all afternoon. That pulse that you found so faint, you have brought back to life.
Yep.
And the chair of all the mayors in the country, Mayor Palmer from Trenton, New Jersey.
Oh, Hill.
What are your names?
Whitney.
Jitney.
W.
Incest.
Crystal Meth. International Harvester. First Day.
Was one of them W?
Yeah.
So cool.
I missed it. I guess I have to wait another 3 years.
We have one coming up in August.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Okay.
So you know your lunar eclipse day.
I'll be buff. So hopefully the clouds will cooperate next time. Because last night, even though it was nice outside weather-wise, temperature-wise, the clouds were nice and we couldn't see the eclipse.
Yes, it was nice. Hey, there's one other one we didn't hear. It's Rachel Ray.
Oh, Rachel Ray, what's your name?
We're having fun because we're talking about sex.
Oh, no. I think she is a P-I-G with a capital
really?
P, a capital I, and a capital G.
I think she paints up okay. her, I like her.
Her arms look like Hillary Clinton's legs.
Did you say, were you talking about her a minute ago when you said, or did Rob say T-Rex arms? T-Rex arms, Rachel Reyes, T-Rex arms?
That's from Robert Spielberg the first.
Yeah, the senior.
Senior, that's a good one. I like that.
He's very popular with the gentleman.
That's her. Did you see that picture of her? Look.
Yeah, that's 10 years ago.
No, it's not.
You know what that looks like? That looks Photoshopped. Somebody check out Rachel Ray on TV tomorrow.
She does tend to look a little puffy. I think she's just gone through a bad marriage problem.
Buzz, really, that looks like a Photoshop picture. Where'd you find that one?
FHM magazine.
That's an accurate picture, but it is old. That's when she just started on the Food Network.
Really?
Probably 5 years ago.
Oh, well, she's done a lot of eating since then.
Yes, she has.
Nothing wrong with curves.
Well, it's time for Buzz. I'm sorry, we're here chatting about the tapes.
Those are nice shoes Buzz has on, but I'd hate to be in them.
Let's just get right to the news and comments. Hi there, Buzz.
Oh. You, me, bar, beers, Buzz.
Yeah.
Well, hi, everybody.
This is the news.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Thank you.
Oh, and this is the week. Also, last thing I'll promote about the show this week. This is the week that we do get underneath the soft underbelly of Merrill Howard Kalin.
Yes, it's about time. Good. He's been entertaining us for weeks.
Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
Dick Cheney made an unscheduled trip to the doctor today after complaining of discomfort in his calf. An ultrasound revealed the vice president suffering
from
a blood clot in his left leg.
Were you hissing at the vice president?
Rob was hissing.
We used to play the Darth Vader music for the vice president, too. The eel.
Cheney was not admitted to the hospital, but will be treated with blood-thinning medication for several months.
He's coming down the hallway. It's Dick Cheney.
Can it get any thinner? Blood clots.
Where's my dockers? Where's my dockers and my lesbo daughter?
Blood clots in the leg are dangerous because they often travel through the body without warning. A blood clot can come loose and cause a heart attack or even a stroke if it travels to the brain.
I was enjoying my jambalaya and felt this pain in my calf.
Cheney, who has a history of heart trouble, has returned to the White House.
Buzz, I know you throw that out because it's news, but
yes.
I think I speak for all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
He better take care of himself.
Yes.
I as bad as it is with Bush...
Mm-hmm.
God forbid, what if something happened to Bush and we didn't have Dr. Evil behind him?
Who's next? Would it be Condi?
Who's next in line then?
Who's next in succession?
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House.
Who would that be?
He's fine.
Who would that be?
That'd be Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
Chick?
Oh, we can't have that.
You're right about that, Rob. You're right about that.
There they go. They're at it again.
Don't cook me some breakfast.
They're at it again.
Yeah, we'll be okay 26 days a month.
The astronaut who... It's a higher average than now. The astronaut, who fueled by love, jealousy, and anger, drove over 900 miles in a diaper to confront the other woman.
Speaking of sexy periods,
she won't necessarily spend the rest of her life in prison.
Boy, and where is that diaper on eBay?
Oh, baby.
The attempted murder charge has been dropped against 43-year-old NASA veteran Lisa Nowak. That just leaves the assault and attempted kidnapping charges.
She ought to take the no off her name.
Yeah, Nowak?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you can't spell NASA without ass.
So she still faces the assault and the kidnapping charges.
I used to say Nassau and nuclear.
And the president still does, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Assault and kidnapping charges will be hard to beat considering the evidence in Lisa's car. You remember the pepper spray, the rope, the rubber tubing, the BB gun,
Sexy. The
real knife, the latex gloves, and the garbage bags. You can see why prosecutors considered an attempted murder charge, but they say that would require us to know what she was thinking about doing, something that just can't be proven in a court of law.
Well, you know what they say about women, Buzz.
Reject a woman and she will never let it go, one of the many defects of their kind.
What else?
Also, weak arms.
Right.
Go change your diaper, baby.
All right.
Faggot.
Right.
Except Rachel Ray, she's got strong T-Rex arms.
The better to hold me with. NASA, meanwhile, continues to watch out for the safety of its astronauts. That's why the astronauts may have to have their sushi without wasabi. Wait, what? Yes, space food has improved a lot in recent years.
Do you remember him with wasabi?
Yeah.
He's the wasabi king. You know that, don't you?
Tablespoon of it.
Do you know when did we go out to eat? A couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
And we went to a nice sushi restaurant, Buzz and Marcia and Janet and I.
Did he do the trick again?
No, but he threw it out there like he was Hercules, like he had jumped off a building. He said, Janet, I know you don't know a lot about me, but one time in New York, I ate an entire spoonful.
Tablespoon.
Big heaping glob.
For $100.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Did I pony up the 100?
Yeah, it was $60. But it was
$60.
Still worth it.
Boy, it was a great trick.
And my girlfriend said, said, oh, Buzz, I want to sleep with you now more than when I first saw you.
That's why I brought it up. One of his greatest tricks.
So, yeah, they've got better food in space now. The astronauts do get sushi. NASA, however, is concerned about even just one tiny speck of hot wasabi mustard getting loose in the weightlessness. You sure don't want to get that in your eye or in your ventilation system.
You know, I was down at a restaurant before the hockey game. They got this place I'd never been to. You should have seen it. I've seen this place down there.
Uh-huh.
And they have, I'm sure that people have seen this before. I don't want to appear uncultured, no, but it was a first for me.
What?
So the sushi comes out on a little conveyor belt. Have you ever been to one of those places?
Uh-huh.
And you sit around the bar, and the guys are in the back making the sushi, uh-huh, and then they charge you a certain amount for like a blue plate, a certain amount for a green plate, and it's different quality of sushi that comes out, and you can just grab all you want.
I have not seen that.
But you know, my kids, of course, had already eaten. They were having ice cream, but of course, they had to have sushi after this. And we were all just sitting there grabbing plates, and then they totaled it up. It was like $40 for the four of us. It was great.
When we went to that sushi place, they brought, my meal came out like on this boat.
It was like a little wooden boat.
Like
was like everybody's sitting around a bar, mm-hmm, and there's a conveyor belt that goes along, and it's got different sushi on it, and they color code it with the plates, and that's how you know how expensive it is. And you had like the tuna, uh-huh, and you had the shrimp, and you had the some of the tempura
stuff.
It's like
I Love Lucy, right? Where
it was
Lucy and Ethelore on the candy line.
Only there's not an end to it. It goes around in a circle, and the guys back there, they put the sushi on a conveyor belt. I don't remember the name of the place. It's right down next to the Verizon Center.
Didn't they used to do that back in the day, like in a cafeteria where you would sit there, and it was almost like
they've done it before.
Waiting for your luggage, mm-hmm,
and they cover it with a little plastic. They got a little plastic cover,
and you would stand there and go, God damn, that cheese sandwich has been around five times.
Yeah, nobody wants it.
When is something new going to show up?
And that's this thing, you could see the things that weren't popular and the things that were going like hotcakes. But I loved it. I'd like to eat that way every night.
You should have heard of Mr. Braggart, though. Yeah, I had the whole big teaspoonful. I ate it right down in front of the guys.
Don't have a lot to hang my hat on.
In front of the guys.
The wasabi thing is big with me. The movie theater, the art house near my house, serves sushi as something you can take into the theater and eat while you're watching.
That's
great. And I've noticed now grocery stores sell sushi. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Bleach.
Oh, and what is the movie chain I was reading about over the weekend that says it's okay to bring food in?
Really?
I'm not sure which one it is. I was reading about it over the weekend.
Wow.
It's a national chain.
That's big.
And I did not know who...
I'll look into that.
If anybody knows, let me know because...
No, so we don't have to sneak our sandwiches in there anymore?
Yeah, doesn't everybody sneak their own
it's a religion.
Candy, gummy bears,
I actually... Carl and I sneak whole sandwiches in there.
I got a cake in there.
Foot-long subs.
XXX theater, isn't it?
Well, here's why NASA's concerned about especially the wasabi. Last week, astronaut Sunita Williams accidentally squirted some into the air on the space station. The astronauts were able to capture the globs in midair
because they were in like zero gravity
before
they
could do any damage. This time, yes.
So what happens? I mean, if it floats around there, get in your eye?
They're concerned if an astronaut got it in their eye, they would be blinded, perhaps when they had to perform a critical function.
Ooh, that'd be bad.
Or if it got in the ventilation system, if it got in your sinuses and your lungs, that wouldn't be good either.
You'd like it, though.
Yeah, I'd be all right with it.
Oh,
chicks seem to dig it. NASA says it's reviewing the whole wasabi issue, just so you'll know. Maybe kids grow up so fast because they grow out so fast. Obese kids hit puberty younger than normal-sized kids.
Hey, look at my hair.
And the younger they hit puberty, the younger they have sex.
Hey, you know something? No, look. I had a dream last night.
That's a real fat kid saying that.
And girls, breasts can begin to develop before they should, making the girls more likely to have breast cancer.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
And all of this is happening more with the increase in childhood obesity. These are the findings of a new study by the University of Michigan. In the latest Pediatrics Journal, the university's health system says girls who are overweight at age 3 may hit puberty as young as 9. That's a whole year of her life ahead of schedule.
How about that?
10 or older is considered normal.
Oh boy, that's great. Where's the honey, Junior? Where's the girl you had on the show that had the baby that didn't know she was pregnant? April! God, was that sexy. April had a baby and she didn't even know it. How about that lucky guy? Yeah, way to go, mister. How would you get her pregnant? How'd you know you're not just doing it with a belly button? Doing it with an armpit.
Oh,
Jesus.
Hold on. Here's the...
Hello?
The movie chain.
Oh, good.
Hello?
Hello, Doug and Mike. Hello.
Hey, AMC in Spokane here. They let you bring in any kind of food you want.
Thank you. All the way from Spokane to D.C. and everywhere in between.
AMC.
That's the chain I was reading about. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Charlie Stossel de Pants chain.
Mm-hmm.
AMC. I actually read something over the weekend where there's a guy from AMC Theaters saying, bring whatever you want.
Wow.
Good.
We don't care.
Why not? They charge enough for the ticket prices.
A rotisserie chicken?
I'm bringing a pizza. A lovely full-size pepperoni pizza. My wife's in the bathroom. Just had a baby. She'll be out shortly. I'm going to watch the previews of Coming Attraction as I eat my pizza. With bananas on top of it.
It's none of our business, but we are getting mixed signals about the status of Chris Rock's marriage. TMZ.com says Rock has started divorce proceedings against his wife.
I'm going to throw the bitch out of the house.
Malik Compton Rock.
I'm throwing her right out of the house. She can't stay. I don't want her to stay. No, she can't stay anymore.
Wasn't he just parading her out on Oprah last week?
Yeah, I believe he was.
Yeah, but then she got home and she's all full of herself. She's such a bitch.
That's what I'm saying about mixed signals. Now, the website, TMZ, says Chris has hired a high-powered attorney to represent...
High-powered.
People Magazine, meanwhile, has it that Chris and Malik are fine.
She didn't want to toss the salad.
They have two...
She didn't want to toss the salad. That's why I'm getting rid of her, dog.
They have two kids. They're just 3 weeks shy of their 10th wedding anniversary.
Ah, wedding schmitty. I want the bitch out. Throw her clothes out of the lawn. Throw her to drive a car down in the river.
Maybe this is the answer. Chris has a movie coming out about marital strife.
Yeah, it's all publicity stuff.
Called I Think I Love My Wife.
Get out.
You know, I love your son.
Who's that?
Classic.
Classic? Here's my son, Classic Rock. And my daughter loved me like it.
Steven Spielberg's Possession.
And don't forget your retarded boy. Soft.
Soft rock.
Soft in the head. The soft, mushy spot.
He's a good fool, man. Jenna Davison. All right.
Steven Spielberg and Possession of Stolen Merchandise when we continue.
All right. Thank you, Buzz. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's a word from Planet Crackpot.
The Don and Mike Show.
1, 2, 3.
Source for warm, the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Now, once again, here's Fred. Hi, Frederick.
Hi, Don and Mike.
An original...
What's happening, Fred, man?
Oh, allow me to tell you.
The man from Fredstinia.
An original Norman
the
Rockwell...
The Fredster.
That's me. Original
Freddie
Norman
Mac.
Norman Rockwell painting.
The F-Man.
Stolen over 30 years ago.
What?
As Norman Rockwell painting. Stolen sometime back, 3 decades ago. It's been found in Steven Spielberg's collection.
That bastard.
Steve had it. He bought it in 89 from a legitimate dealer. One of Steve's people recently noticed that same painting on the FBI's webpage for most wanted art.
Steve, we found that Norman Rockwell you were looking for.
Quoting the employee, I think we have that painting. A Russian schoolroom is worth worth $700,000 to somebody. Rockwell's work, as you know, is hard to come by, having appeared on fewer than 400 magazine covers.
Hey, I get sarcasm.
Uh-huh. Michael Jackson, meanwhile, is charging $3,500 each.
Faggot.
For fans to spend 30 seconds with him at a VIP party. They still love him in Japan, and quoting Jacko, I love Japan. It's one of my favorite places in the entire world. The parties for contestants in an art competition exclusively for fans of Michael Jackson. King of Pop arrived in Tokyo yesterday afternoon to hundreds of screaming fans, some carrying signs that read, We love you, Michael. Welcome to Japan.
That's pretty good, Buzz.
Pretty close, Fred.
Thank really?
Thank you. Very nice, Fred.
Fred. It's only going to take us a few months to get used to that.
News with Fred Elston.
We're swimming in the Fred Sea.
Uh-huh.
The Red Sea. The Fred Sea.
Right, Seth. The next presidential election still near.
Red X.
Your news absolutely positively has to be there the next day.
Yeah, baby.
The next presidential election still almost 2 years away, but you couldn't tell that from the TV news coverage. Perhaps if we tire of the subject early, we won't care who wins. One study says the networks have already spent more time on this subject than they had at this point before the last 4 elections combined. Analysts say there's so much coverage so early, it's astonishing. And it seems to be what people want. Nearly two-thirds of Americans surveyed said they're following the coverage of the 08 election closely. It's going to be a long 20 months. It's hard to ignore a story about Senator Obama threatening legal action against a self-described pedophile who's posted pictures of Obama's young daughters online. The website posts pictures of the daughters of each U.S. presidential candidate and rates the candidate's chances for winning on the girl's cuteness. Barack Obama.
Wow, pervert's in here.
Yeah, there he is. Barack's demanding his daughter's pictures be removed from the website.
We'll lick you all over.
A guy named Lindsay Ashford runs the website out of Panama.
Hi, Lindsay.
Just a bunch of white trash.
He says his Latin nickname translates to lover of little girls.
Shep Smith.
It's also hard to ignore conservative Harpy Ann Coulter calling presidential hopeful John Edwards a faggot.
Faggot. Faggot.
He's responded by condemning the word and refusing to comment on her. It was hard to ignore last week when we learned that Al Gore was allowed to bypass airport security.
Buzz, excuse me for 1 second. I'm going to have a tremendous amount of time keeping all of my words straight if they're going to start referring to what Ann Coulter said as the F word.
Yes, it's now, confusing.
My way of thinking, N-word, gotcha.
Yeah.
Know what it means.
Right, very clear.
If you're going to get on TV and say Ann Coulter said the F word, then someone's got to say, if you're afraid to say faggot, you have to at least say, said the F word that is a euphemism for homosexuality, because here I was thinking that she dropped, you know.
Right.
Right.
It is very
fudge.
Although that would be good, too.
That would have been better.
I think so.
And I still want to find out, did she flash everybody and show her penis after that was done?
Well, you know she
faggot.
Did.
She showed it to John Edwards more than his wife.
That is Ann Coulter,
yeah,
who
right.
sounds so mannish.
Like a man, doesn't it?
Faggot. Faggot. Faggot.
It's scary. It's
right.
Sounds like a manly Andy Dick.
Faggot.
Well, last week we learned Al Gore was allowed to bypass airport security thanks to an admiring airline employee.
I really appreciate you letting me go around here, and this will save time and energy.
American Airlines won't identify the employee, but says the employee's being retrained now in the ways of modern airport security.
Toilet train.
Bet you get another bypass soon, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you so much, Rob. How's your anus?
Great.
Here's an inconvenient truth. Your wife's a pig.
Who?
You.
Tipper?
Yeah.
That's not kind.
No, it isn't.
What's wrong with you, Don?
I think she's a bigger pig than John Edwards' wife. Didn't you just say John Edwards' wife is a pig?
Oh, I think that'd be a good contest.
Well, you know, I like a little meat on the bones. Look at Ann Coulter. She's practically wasting away.
Faggot.
Shut your mouth.
No, Rachel.
But we're talking about Ann Coulter. And we can dig it.
That's from Shaft. Richard Roundtree. Thank you.
And no explicit lyrics.
Who was in the remake?
Who was in the remake? Samuel L. Jackson.
There you go.
Be kind. Why did you hold that up for me to read it, Rob?
Oh, Rob did.
Be kind.
You said that was unkind.
Be sweet. I'd like a big, big bucket of sweet tea with some peanuts.
Nobody gets around airport security, not even Al Gore, except for armed federal marshals. Quoting an airline spokesman, they were trying to be helpful, maybe too helpful. And a baggage handler for Qantas is going to jail for more than 2.5 years because of his unusual sexual fetish. 30-year-old Rodney Peterson of Melbourne, Australia, pleaded guilty to 50 counts of stealing head and pubic hair from brushes and underpants in women's luggage.
Yeah. Brushes? Who brushes it? Anybody here brush it?
Rod collected it in little bags.
Guilty.
And recorded. Departed on the left or the right?
You don't brush it.
I have.
Rod,
swear to God, I've combed it.
Rod collected a head hair from the comb.
You've never combed your pubes?
Pubic hair from the...
I don't think so.
Only for lice.
I don't think I ever have. Buzz, you've combed them for lice?
I'm kidding. He was talking about...
I've shaved it. I've cut it.
Faggot.
Thank you.
Faggot.
But I cut myself.
Yeah, it was dangerous. Wow.
I have taken a...
I probably had brushed it.
You've never, like, come out of the shower and just gone, oh,
look at that. What a great-looking brush I've got.
Just, like, going at it with a... No, you haven't?
Okay, hey, well, play it for yourself now.
My how you...
Faggot.
My how you've changed.
Faggot. Faggot. Faggot.
I'm not bending over looking at my bush.
Right.
I've done that.
My manly bush.
I've done what you just mentioned.
Oh, don't I know that?
I've done that.
I know. Faggot.
I have.
Faggot.
Today.
Today. Every day, just to make sure it's just right. You never know who's going to look at it.
Right.
Little Aquanet, you're good to go. Or super glue.
Well, this guy collected it in little bags and recorded personal information about
that
this woman
so gross.
In a notebook.
Ugh.
And near Knoxville, Tennessee, some students in Maynardsville Union High are in trouble for trying to produce a softcore porn film between classes. Two guys and four girls were caught by the drama teacher. Well, there's a movie in itself. The girls were in their underwear with the boys directing, narrating, and running camera.
Hey, you know something? No, what? I had a dream last night.
I love that.
Perfect for this. Quoting the drama teacher, I think students see too much on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And in Chesterville, Virginia, 33-year-old David Feltmeyer was dumped by his girlfriend, so he took their homemade sex tape, burned a bunch of DVDs, and slipped them under people's windshield wipers. In some cases, the DVDs were found and viewed by children. In other cases, guys called her phone number, which was written on each disc.
Oh.
It sounds like a pretty place. Shingle Springs, California, east of Sacramento. There, a high school freshman's lost at least one testicle, maybe both, after a junior on his snowboarding team gave him a cup check. It's a tradition at Ponderosa High, guys hitting other guys in the nuts, supposedly to see if they're wearing their protective cup.
Faggot.
When we all know, yeah, it's really just a gay thing. But quoting a senior,
gay.
One senior says, we don't do it excessively. Actually, says the deputy, they do. Quoting him, I don't know why. And finally, when DHL dropped off a package at the Michigan home of Frank LeMond, he opened it right away. It's not every day you got a package from China. The contents were even more surprising. Frank unrolled the bubble wrap and said, this is strange. It looks like a liver. He unrolled the second piece of bubble wrap and discovered an ear. That's when he decided he'd seen enough. They were preserved body parts being shipped from medical research. There are 28 other such packages out there. Is that your doorbell?
Eee.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
I have a publisher's clearinghouse was the only reason to check my mailbox.
That's gross. It's a lot of gross news tonight. Your liver's here.
I said, we got to fly. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you to the guy from 24.
Gregory Itzen.
That's it. Good day to you, sir.
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 Were there any onions with that liver?
Mm-hmm. I heard something about you on the show today.
Don't worry. I think I'm going to be producer tomorrow.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.